right, let's start. Chit-chat time's over.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
It's a bright and shiny day. It's a bright and shiny day.
You ready to get this party going on?
All right, let's get this party started.
Hey, don't get me wrong, all right? I like to rock and roll all night, part of every day.
Party every day. Rock and roll all night and party every day.
I like to rock and roll part of every day.
Party every day.
I usually have errands. I can rock and roll from like 1 to 3.
And now.
I want you both to listen to me, okay? I know why you're here. So don't BS a BSer, okay? Your presence here, court ordered.
Why did you put presence in quotes? You implying that we're not here?
Our feature presentation.
That's Role Models, right?
It sure is.
I love that movie.
I love that Paul Rudd.
Yeah, he's great. It's 5:31. Good morning, everybody. Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 8th of Aprilingus.
We're going to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew is on the air for a Wednesday morning in about a minute. You call us, get on the air, get a prize. Kevin, I saw this article this morning, and I can't believe I haven't heard about this from you before I read it in the paper. Apparently, according to the Denver Post, the hot new thing, and there's hundreds of videos with doing this on YouTube, the hot new thing is that you take these body sprays, like the Axe deodorant body spray that you see advertised in the
right.
TV, and you make a video using it as a flamethrower.
Awesome.
Apparently, you can use it, you know, it's an aerosol spray, and you can set all sorts of stuff on fire, and there's all sorts of videos of people, you know, lighting each other on fire and lighting
wow.
stuff on fire.
What could go wrong with that?
Just sounds like something you would adore.
That's awesome.
Like, how can you not be part of this trend?
I do love fire and have my whole life been obsessed with it.
You are a little bit of a pyro.
Yeah,
exactly. But if you hadn't thought of that before, apparently that's the way to go.
Spray.
I got to check out some of these videos on YouTube. But apparently that's the deal right now.
Most of you should not try this at home because you're not trained professionals. But certainly. I, on the other hand, am. So I'm going to have to try that. That's a good
sounds
tip.
Sounds to me like a video for Kevin Bean TV.
Do that to Beer Mug. Is that what we're going to call it?
Sure. Why not?
What the hell? He's up for everything. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
Saturday, April 19th, apparently, is the middle day of the Long Beach Grand Prix this week, this year, I should say, and Puddle of Mud is going to be performing on the day, so you get tickets to not only see the drive-in, you get a chance to see the concert for free as well. That's the prize for getting on the air of 1-800-520-1067, certainly one of the most famous and well-attended of all the Southern California races, and the only one that's in the streets, so please enjoy.
You know, from time to time, we get a call from a KROQ listener who listens online in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, and Jeremy is back on the phone now.
Oh, good.
Jeremy, usually drunk when we talk to him. Hey, Jeremy.
I'm not drunk tonight. I just got home from school recently, so I'll actually kind of be well behaved.
Okay.
All right, and so you're there in South Korea, and I imagine it was a huge story over there. This rocket launch that North Korea made last week.
Yeah, it was. It was on the news. It was heavily on the news. There was some protesting up in Seoul. I'm in Busan, which is the southeastern tip of South Korea.
Right.
But you know, surprisingly enough, most South Koreans really aren't that worried. And I was talking to some of my co-teachers about it, and they made a really good point. They kind of mentioned that North Korea doesn't have anything to gain by bombing South Korea. Whereas on the hand, they do have something to gain by bombing America.
Yes, that is great.
Well, here's the reason why. Because North Korea is the poorest country. Well, one of the poorest countries in the world. And so if they bomb U.S. and U.S. goes to war, obviously they would basically destroy North Korea. But also, they'll do what they do in every war. They'll send billions and billions of dollars and rebuild the country.
So you think they're going to bomb America because they're poor and that's the way to wealth?
That's what most of the South Koreans think.
Really?
I've read some articles online. I've had a few of my South Korean coworkers kind of mention that.
Jeremy, are you in school or you're teaching?
I'm actually teaching, my friend.
Teaching, okay.
Your friends need to call some folks in Iraq who still don't have power 5 years later before they start getting all excited about America rebuilding the infrastructure in North Korea.
I understand. I thought it was just an interesting case.
Yeah, that is strange. I would have never
in it as well.
Would have never thought that. That's bizarre. All right, thank you, Jeremy, for the call.
All right,
next time you're drunk.
Yeah.
Let's go to Ryan in Long Beach. Good morning, Ryan.
I don't know if I like Jeremy when he makes sense. You know, what's the point of going to him then?
I hear you.
What'd you do, nephew?
What'd it do?
What'd you do, baby boo?
What's going on, dude?
Okay. Are you serious? Paul Moyer is going to retire.
Well, that's what we hear. Paul Moyer's retiring.
No!
That's what I'm saying.
You're not. You're kidding me.
He's a Southern California institution of badness.
No way!
He doesn't look old enough to retire to me. Don't most of these news guys? Remember, like, Jerry Dunphy? I mean, that dude hung on until he was, like, 90.
Oh, my
God. He seems too young to walk away from it.
Holy crap.
Yeah.
Who are we going to make fun of now? Who are you guys going to make
fun
of now?
Well, we still have Chuck Henry. I mean, he's fantastic as well. But
Chuck's not as bad behind the anchor desk, though.
Right.
When he's out in the field, that's when Chuck shines. That's when he blows. But they don't really send him out as much anymore because he's been doing more anchoring, which is kind of a bummer. I heard a report the other day, by the way, that what's his name? Micah something. Paul Moyer's nephew who works over at Channel 7.
He looks
like mini Paul. I mean, he looks and sounds exactly like Paul Moyer. It's so freaky to watch this guy on the TV. I heard, and I have not checked this out myself, but somebody told me that he got fired the other day from Channel 7, too, so they may both be gone soon.
Wow. Trying to take out the whole Moyer clan.
It sounds like it. So
it's not a good time to be them.
Sorry to disappoint you, dude.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Nick in Riverside. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, morning. What a do, Kevin and Bean. What a do, Lisa May.
What a do.
Is it true that you can't say no? Tell me that.
What's that?
What are you calling about?
I said, what are you calling about?
You mean you use the Axe body spray and light them on fire and shoot wasps?
Oh man, I got like a 3 foot reach with these things.
That's a good call.
We got a pretty bad infestation out in Riverside with the wasps, so I just been throwing the torch on them.
I like it.
Them out pretty good.
By the way, how are you wasting your time fighting wasps in Riverside? The wasps own that town. I mean, it's over. That would be like people in LA fighting the sun. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. They're bigger than you are.
Yeah, it's a one man battle. I've been holding my own though. I've been doing all right.
Because he's got the secret weapon of the Axe body spray set on fire.
Hey, I got a 3 foot reach on that thing.
Yeah,
I wipe out like two at a time.
Nicely
done.
Do you
agree then that we ought to take Beer Mug out in the parking lot of K Rock and do some flame throwing with him?
Absolutely. Get the big can.
All right.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. That's all awesome. Right. Thank you very much for the call on that. All right, let's do one more. Mike is in LA. He's on line 5 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike, welcome. What's up?
What do, nephew?
What's going on?
Hey, a few years ago, a friend of mine and I went to a porn shoot as extras out in the valley, of course, and never saw the porno until a few nights ago. My buddy gave me a call, and he said, dude, I'm trying to watch internet porn, and I see your big, ugly face all over my computer screen.
What?
Thanks a lot.
So you were in it?
Yeah. I was in it, yeah, and they had us yelling out the name of some website. I don't remember what it was, but I was really hammered, and I had a red party cup. And my face is all over the camera.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I ruined his internet porn experience for that night.
Starring in a porn movie and didn't realize it. You thought you were just there and they didn't catch you on film or whatever?
I didn't know I was all over the screen like I was.
I like it.
That's funny. I've had a similar call with my friends that I've ruined their experience because I'm in, what am I in, Jail Babes 3 or something? Which of the Jail Babes series am I in? Do you remember, Kevin?
I thought it was 6.
Maybe it was 6. Yeah, maybe 6. Yeah, but I'm in that one, so I know exactly where you're coming from, Mike.
And Bean's the only person in that one, which is odd. Just him in jail with no babes. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Why does Kevin hate? Apparently, is a new feature that we didn't have time yesterday to get to.
And I bet you hate that feature too, don't you?
Not a big fan.
Interesting.
Jamie Presley on the program today.
Yeah.
For My Name Is Earl, of course. She's got a new book out called "It's Not Necessarily Not the Truth." We have the update on Hasselhoff and the Hoff Drops, which are his kids that he wants to push into showbiz.
Fantastic.
Today we're going to take phone calls from people who do celebrity impressions. because we get, you know, we have the Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. And people call all the time. The latest one is a guy who does a Tommy Lee impression. And he does a pretty good one, I think. It's funny, at least, you know. But everybody, it seems like everybody has a celebrity impression. Some people have a bunch. And a lot of you shouldn't be doing any. And that's like me. You should not really be doing impressions. But you can get somewhere in the ballpark, so you do it a lot. So we're going to give away some prizes for people who do celebrity impressions coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
You do the very funny Kevin Federline on our show, though.
Yes,
I think you do a great job with those. Well, the songs that you write and stuff.
That's one of my strengths, I think.
Yeah.
Kerry Hart in the studio today.
I bet he's had that his whole life.
Yep. He's talking about Hart and Huntington is moving to the Hard Rock, where he has his wasted space. And, you know, he's going to stop by and hang out. He's the coolest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And a new documentary called My Fake Baby. Highlights of that coming up today. BBC does effed up shows, man. I don't know if you've seen this, but My Fake Baby is the name of it.
Looking forward to it.
How good can that be?
Also, by the way, not only more Metallica tickets for the show at the Honda Center, but we're going to be talking to actor Cal Penn today from the TV show House. I hope you've had the opportunity before we speak with him to see this week's House that aired on Monday night.
I did not.
Okay. Well, it's going to be spoiled for you today, then.
That's fine.
Because when you find out what happened to him on that show and why he's leaving the show to go work for President Obama, I think you're going to be very interested to hear that conversation.
That's so weird.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's really bizarre. Well, we'll talk to him about that today in the 7 o'clock hour. We'll take a quick break now and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat now.
And now, a moment with Bean.
She is 28 years old.
She's in Charlie Wilson's War, too, Frank. Ralph, what's your name?
Ralph? Frank?
Hit it, Steve.
What the hell?
He just called Ralph Frank.
A stroke?
That was a moment with Bean.
I think you'd only been on the show like 9 or 10 years at that point, Ralph. You can't expect me to remember your name every day you come in. Come on.
Frank.
Plus, Ralph used to go by Frank. A lot of people don't know.
So. Never once.
Never did. No. Right. That's what I meant.
It's 5:49 on the Kevin and Bean Show Wednesday morning. The beautiful actress Jamie Presley on the show later on today. Also, actor Cal Penn from the TV show House. Kerry Hart's going to be here. Big show straight ahead. And Ralph has got the showbiz beat to get us started.
Can we fire a cycle, Mike?
Absolutely.
Of course. You don't even need to give us a reason.
All right. Good. Thanks.
Just done.
Cause. He's just ruining the other room. He's ruining it.
What did I do?
How's he ruining it?
This freaking diet. He's got the girls on.
Is he talking about that again?
Oh. I didn't say a word.
Miss Cleo picked up the wrong lunch from her house this morning. Took her mom's lunch with her instead of hers.
Disaster struck?
It's disaster.
End
You'd
of the
think
world?
Somehow there was some biochemical released in the atmosphere here at the office. Never, I've seen such panic. What am I going to do? Now I have nothing to eat. She has a salad, but I can't eat a salad. I need 5 egg whites and an apple. And she's got this list of things she has to eat. I said, we're not on the island Lost.
Yeah.
We'll go out. We'll get you something to eat. No, I can't eat nothing. I can't eat anything from a restaurant because I have this particular thing I have to eat. She's running around like her hair's on fire.
Look, I understand it may be hard for you guys to deal with, but can I maybe... Like, maybe the problem lies with Lisa and Miss Cleo and not with me.
Of course.
Because Omar, for instance...
Nothing's ever your fault.
No, but Omar, for instance, has been getting dieting tips from me for like 3 years. Never causes you guys a problem. It's once I introduce women to this, you know, whole equation.
So it's them.
It's because Omar works in a bunker by himself most of the day. No one interacts with him.
No, it's also because he doesn't have a complete mental breakdown every time something minute happens.
I'm just saying.
I wonder why they have that reaction, Mike.
You've turned them into nut jobs. It's unbearable.
God did that to
them. I'm going
to
take them all out and buy them a burger so we can all live.
I was thinking about this the other day, Ralph, and I'm so glad you brought up. The relationship that Mike has with the girls on the diet, it's like he's a pageant parent. And they are so terrified of looking the wrong way or standing the wrong way that they're going to get beaten.
On House this week, there was a little pageant girl who said, I have to be perfect, and take her into the clinic, and she's been drinking mouthwash, so her breath will be fresh. And she gets loaded. She's
drinking
it.
Wow.
Like a four-year-old's drunk out of her mind because she doesn't spit out the mouthwash. She's just been drinking it.
Excellent.
That's the kind of pet parenting that this leads to. Psycho Mike.
Psycho Mike.
That's right.
Speaking of House, now we know why Cal Penn's character was murdered or commit suicide. Rather, on Monday night's episode, turns out he's going to go work for the President of the United States.
What's that about? What's that deal?
Well, luckily, we'll be talking to him later today, but fans of the show, not pleased. If you read any of the message boards, some fans are vowing never to watch again.
Why?
Because they loved Kuttner, his character.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of people are grumbling that the character's exit could have been less abrupt. But
people need something else to do with their lives.
Yeah, there's a lot of passionate House fans out there who are very upset about this, which has to make him feel nice.
Sure.
Yeah. But he's going to work as in the White House Office of Public Liaison.
What does that mean?
He will be working with outreach programs with the American public, with different organizations, mostly minority groups, especially American Asians. Huh. He's been very active in that community for some time now. He's taught a class at the University of Pennsylvania on Asian Americans in the media. Hmm. And he's been very hard working for the Obama campaign for the past 2 years.
How about that?
He must be awfully committed to this in order to take such a huge pay cut and move to Washington, D.C. from Los Angeles.
Yeah. But now we have Harold and Kumar go to the White House to look forward to.
Yes, yeah. We
know what
do.
I'm talking about?
Yes, we
smoking
do.
Smoking dope in the Lincoln bedroom.
Yes, we
That's
can.
That's what I'm seeing in our future. Because he'll just say, hey, Brock, do you mind if I use the White House to shoot a movie?
No problem.
No, go ahead. It'll be great. Madonna has donated $500,000 to the town of Pacentro, Italy.
Is that where the earthquake was?
Well, it's one of the cities hard hit by devastation of the earthquake on Monday. Apparently, her grandparents lived in Pacentro until 1919.
Wow.
And so the mayor of that town personally appealed to Madonna, saying, look, your family's from here. Do you mind giving us a little help? So she donated $500,000.
That's impressive. That's
pretty
cool.
It is impressive.
How many of their kids does she want in return?
As many as they can fit into a Volvo. Speaking of kids, she's still miserable that Mercy, the little baby she's trying to adopt from Malawi, is not hers yet. She has left the country, but she gave her aides strict instructions to do whatever they could to get the baby back.
She has aides?
She has aides. No, she has like assistants.
Oh.
So her legal team is not giving up the fight. Because, and I can imagine this is the hardest part, especially if you meet a child that you're planning on adopting. They're going to send little Mercy back to an orphanage. And that's got to be the most heart-rending part, you know.
That's strange.
For a four-year-old that you've become close to, knowing they're going back into that situation. So, although I'm not a big fan of her trying to collect children from all over the world, it must be hard once you've made a bond to see that kid go back into an orphanage.
Especially as honked up as Madonna is, you know that kid would have an easier life living with her than living back in the orphanage in Malawi.
Yeah. However, I still have to fault her for, and I don't understand this, and maybe someday we can do a call-in on it or something, but why is it so preferable to some people to adopt out of the country?
I don't know. That is weird. Maybe they think they need it more or something?
I think so. I think that's where some of it comes from, is there are lots of kids who desperately need escape.
I would think there's American kids who need that too, right? And it would be easier for her to adopt some kid out of a Detroit orphanage than it would a Malawian orphanage.
Yeah, but you don't want a kid from Detroit, you know?
Because the conditions are worse than Malawi.
Yeah, Detroit just blows.
Yeah, well, that's true. Demi Moore.
Yeah.
In talks about reprising her role that made her a superstar, she wants to play the lead role in the musical version of Ghost, the Broadway stage show.
It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. Okay, it's true.
She wants to play Molly Jensen, the role that made her a big star opposite Patrick Swayze in the movie Ghost. She would like to play it on stage.
All right.
Well, maybe if you're in the back row and you squint real hard, she probably looks young enough to play that role, but I'm thinking maybe that time has passed.
Does that one lend itself to a Broadway show, do you think, Ralph?
I don't see how. But then, you know, they'll write a bunch of songs about, you know, doing pottery and sliding pennies up walls and stuff, and then we'll all go. And
sliding a penny up a wall.
Remember when
the
he did that?
Song.
Oh, yeah. He did that. That's how he showed he was there. He slid a penny up the wall or the door, whatever it was. American Idol last night. Did you watch, Kevin?
No. Why do you always ask me
awesome.
That?
It was Sing Songs from the Year You Were Born week.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something. This Adam Lambert, he's got it locked up, this kid. He is the way gay Elvis impersonator.
Ralph,
yeah?
I was watching the Mariners game last night, so I TiVo'd AI, and of course it ran long. TiVo ran out just before they introduced Adam Lambert. I did not get to see him sing last night. He's the only one I missed.
He was the highlight of the evening. He should have knocked it out of the park. He sang, I don't remember the name of the song.
Ain't No Sunshine. Okay.
No, he did not.
Although someone did that the week before, Mike.
Shut
it's
up.
Funny you should bring that up.
Yeah, it did.
Danny Gilkey did the week before.
Oh, what the hell is...
I did not see
Rhythm of the Night.
No, it wasn't Rhythm of the Night. Anyway, the American Idol.
Two of Hearts by Stacey Q.
It was not Two of Hearts by Stacey Q. DialIdol.com, the website, predicts that the bottom four tonight for the results show will be Matt Gerard, Anoop, Scott McIntyre, Blindy, and Chris Allen will be at the bottom. One of those will go. I think it's time for the blind dude to go.
I do, too. I think
like
Blindy
him.
Is...
I like him. Yeah. I'm impressed by his moxie, but it's time for him to go.
I agree.
And more reality show news. Surprise last night. Everyone expecting Steve-O to be booted off of Dancing with the Stars. Instead, David Alan Greer was given his walking papers. Or dancing papers, I guess they'd be. He and his partner Kim were voted off, leaving Steve-O standing at the end of the show. The two had the lowest totals, but Alan was sent home. David Alan, rather, was sent home.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe he'll come by and talk to us now. He's not on that show anymore.
You guys watching that Nitro Circus? Pastrana on Sunday night.
I saw the first one, but I haven't been watching
Steve-O
it.
Steve-O was on it.
Really?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
Completely sober, trying to ride a motorcycle over a ramp.
Couldn't do it.
And
couldn't
wiping
do it sober.
Out poorly.
Could do it loaded, I bet.
I don't
couldn't
know.
Do it sober. Good.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even hurt if he fell.
He should probably start doing drugs, man. That's what I'm thinking.
He looked good.
That's your advice, Dr. Gurman?
To him, yes. No one has called in with what that guy's saying yet. I'm surprised. I felt
Ralph
sure.
at KRock.com.
Kevin at KRock.com.
Is
dying
the website.
To
I don't care.
I even went to AmericanIdol.com this morning, Ralph, to look for the video to see so I could see it, but it's not posted yet.
Was it I'm Too Sexy?
Yes.
By Right Said Fred?
Yes, that's what it was. Today's celebrity birthdays, former Duke boy John Schneider.
Yeah.
One of the original Dukes of Hazzard, also was Superman's dad on Smallville for many seasons, 49 years old today. Izzy Stradlin from Guns N' Roses is 47. Biz Markie. Oh,
yeah.
Biz. We got to pull some Biz for later for another show.
Yes, we do.
Oh, he's the best.
One of the, as Kevin calls it, one of the best, worst songs of all time.
Yes. You.
Terrible.
You got what I need.
But I listen to it every time it comes on.
Oh, it's the best.
Ralph, I've just added a note with the answer that you're looking for. The song that he did was Hammer Smashed Face by Cannibal Corpse.
Ah.
That was it. So, no need to write, people.
Yeah, Mad World. That's it. Thank you so much, listener Gwen, for calling in. Mad World.
Gwen called in to say it was Mad World by Tears for Fears.
Yes.
That would have been good, yeah.
And he did like a stripped down, really soulful version of that. It was very impressive.
Very well job done, baby.
It was a very well job done. Robin Wright Penn is 43 years old today, and Patricia Arquette celebrates her 41st birthday. I am Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I love crazy and bad. I don't know why I am drawn to train wreck people. I love the people who are mental. So I'm the one that loves Sam the Armenian Comedian a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We all love Doto, but he's more real. I like the out of their mind crazy people.
You like to make fun of those with mental challenges.
Well, no, not well. No, not mental challenges.
Well, you like the crazies. That's what they are. They're mentally crazy.
Well, not all of them are crazy.
All right, who are we looking at today?
Well, a listener sent us a link to a documentary called I Married the Eiffel Tower. Here's how that one began.
I am a woman, and this is a bridge. And despite our vast differences, we are very much in love.
Okay, so there's that one.
See, I appreciate the length she's going to make that relationship work. A lot of people would walk away from that because they just figure we just don't have enough in common or it would be too difficult. Not her. She sticks with it because she's in love, Kevin.
So I decided to start doing a series on it where I bring you highlights of really effed up people from the series that's done in Britain, in England. The next one showed on Channel 4 over there, and it's called My Fake Baby. Now, I wasn't exactly sure what this was when I began watching it, but as it occurred to me what it was, it got really sad and then really funny. I mean, really, like, really both. So it's time to take a look at some of my favorite people.
And now, Sir Kevin Ryder guides you through an hilarious documentary from the BBC about dead babies. Please enjoy this edition of Kevin's BBC Corner.
So the title of this particular show is My Fake Baby. Now, what would you guess? Because, you know, I looked at that and I thought, what could My Fake Baby be?
Well,
like, what's the...
The only thing I think is they must be talking about dolls. People who have a doll and pretend it's a real infant.
Christine is a newcomer to the world of designer babies.
I'm hoping to get one of these reborns.
Okay, so designer babies. So they're not just the doll. They're those real doll type looking things.
Oh, okay.
That look totally real. And mm-hmm. she wants to get a reborn. Now,
a reborn?
Yes.
Why does she call it that?
Well, at this point, I didn't know. So that was my same question, is why would she call it a reborn? There's no way that could end good, right?
Right.
So so she starts talking about this new baby that she wants, and the reporter who's there asks her what her husband thinks about this idea. She is married, and she's a little loopy. So the reporter goes, how's the man feel about it?
How does Bob feel about all these babies?
Well, he just has to accept it.
Sure.
What could go wrong there?
Okay.
So now the husband, you know the husband is miserable because he's got a crazy wife. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't really give him much of a chance. The reporter then asks the husband what he thinks of it. And he tries to answer by saying the dolls, blah, blah, blah. And you have to hear her, the crazy woman, Christine, interrupt him and say, don't call them dolls, they're babies. So that's the first moment where we know she's gone completely bye-bye.
Okay.
She will not allow her husband to call them dolls.
What do you make of the dolls?
The dolls, you know,
babies.
Babies. I love the babies to look at. They're fine, you know. That's as far as it really goes, you know. All the rest of it, it's just not my thing.
All right, so he's trying desperately to be nice to his wife, who's clearly out of her mind. So she goes to this artist who's making her reborn. Still don't know what that is, by the way. And she talks to her about the look of the baby.
Oh, he's just like he was, Jamie.
Okay, so that was my first clue. Oh, he's just like he was. You put that together with reborn.
Is this a replacement baby for one that died, Kevin?
Yes, it is.
And that's why you find this so funny?
Nope, that's not why. But she takes a picture to these artists, and then they recreate...
Oh,
a baby that looks, how tragic is this? A baby that looks just like one that she lost. Now, this woman is, I don't know, 65, 70 years old.
Oh.
So that no good could come of this, right?
Right.
So she's talking to the artist about the way her reborn looks.
Oh, yes. Super.
I think everybody else will like it
I think they'll be surprised.
I think so.
I think they will, yeah.
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 Yeah, they'll be surprised, all right, when you show up with a new baby that looks just like the one you had 40 years ago, 50 years ago.
Oh, no. And then it just stays that age forever.
Yep.
It doesn't grow up. It's just you're walking around with your dead infant, basically.
Oh, yes. How effed up is that?
Way.
I've never... seeing this level I know that people's lives get shattered by, you know, trauma and stuff like that. I've never really seen this kind of, she seems to be okay with it. She's very excited about it. This is, mm-hmm. you know, it's almost like she doesn't even understand what's going on, almost.
It's definitely a dealing mechanism for her, that's for sure.
So then the artist, brings her this fake baby. And everything goes terribly south in the middle of this clip while she's crying and sobbing over what a great baby it is when the husband sees it.
Oh, he's super. Oh, he's just like he was, Jamie. Oh, he is. He's super. Oh, he's gorgeous. He's got his little chin, little mark.
No, I don't like it.
Oh, no. So the husband's standing there and he says...
No, I don't like it, Christine.
You don't?
No.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, so.
Because the dad is probably a right-thinking person. He's like, hey, this is creepy and painful.
So now.
Because I don't want to look at my poor dead baby for the rest of my life.
So
right?
Now, crazy 70-year-old has a baby that looks like their kid used to look. And
Right. Husband,
not a big fan, does not like that at all. So now 75-year-old woman who is trying to deal desperately by replacing her baby with a doll is not happy with his reaction.
Mom's reaction wasn't quite what I expected.
Nope. And then she goes off on this rant about how he has toys and he has models, you know, models of trains and stuff. How is it different? So at the end of this hour, and here's where it really gets tragic, she's talking to her grandson on a video chat. So they're both sitting in front of a computer. Her grandson is four, maybe five. Okay. So the grandson, you would think, doesn't have any clue about this whole world of, you know, replacement babies and these dolls that look real and all that kind of stuff. But she's dying to show this new baby named Harry to her grandson, who's five, maybe five.
Grandma's here. Do you want to see the Harry baby? Can you see him?
No.
That's my baby Harry, my new baby Harry.
Okay, so now she's trying to explain to 4/5-year-old kid that that's her baby. Okay. The 4 or 5-year-old kid knows exactly what's going on.
What do you think?
Is this a doll?
No, it's a baby.
It's just a doll.
Okay.
So now Grandma, 75, is trying to convince 4 or 5-year-old that it's a real baby. But the grandkid knows.
Because the grandkid's not crazy.
It's just a doll. So then the grandkid calls her a name.
It's a doll, you numbnut.
It's a doll, you numbnut.
Oh.
Is what the kid says to the ground.
Oh. Why don't you just bury the poor woman? Why don't you just dig her a hole in the ground and throw dirt on her? Come on.
What a rough time this woman's having.
Because no one's crazy back. Like she is. Yeah.
She just wants her baby back. Husband's not on board. Little 5-year-old grandson, not on board.
So sad.
Just unbelievable. The first time I heard this, I was just like, oh, this is too sad to talk about. But then I started laughing because the level of pain is just unhandleable at this point. You almost either have to laugh or cry. So the little kid calls her a name, and she's not happy with that.
Pardon? It's a doll, you numbnut. You don't call Grandma.
You don't call her a numbnut. And that's how the special ended. So apparently,
I sort of have a boner.
She was. Oh. How come I'm the only one laughing?
Because it's so sad.
It is, but
because it's just so sad. That's why.
But it doesn't it come around to being the Armenian baby. Comedian bad though? I mean, really,
Armenian comedian doesn't involve dead babies that you're trying to replace because you're mentally ill from the tragedy of the loss.
Her husband's trying to be nice. And her kids calling her a numbnut.
Why can't somebody just fix her up with the Eiffel Tower and everybody will be happy?
The next time we visit, I will be able to tell you about a different show called Guys and Dolls.
I think the thing my father finds really difficult about my relationship with Shichan is the fact that she's not alive. You know, she's not a human being.
Right, there is that. My dad's really picky when it comes to that stuff.
Detail.
And, you know, she's not alive. So that's the next one. It's called Guys and Dolls. And these seem to be endless. There's a woman who's still breastfeeding her 8-year-old.
All right.
Why are the British so good about making fun of their own people?
I don't know.
They put these people on a stage and they don't, you know, like try to – they take it seriously. And they do these specials on these crazy people. Brothers and Sisters in Love, that's on the way.
Next edition of Kevin and Bean's BBC Corner. Can't wait.
On.
Is it an epidemic that's going on right now with people trying to do impressions, Kevin? Yeah. Is that what you're noticing around town?
Well, you know, it's funny because we've done this show for a long time in the Afro line. We've had a lot of people call, and a lot of them do celebrity impressions to try and be funny. And it did strike me that everybody likes to do that. Most of us can't. I have zero skill when it comes to that.
Me too.
Although
me too.
I do Alf. But there's not much call for Alf. You know?
You do a killer Alf, by the way.
Lightning, our former producer who works at the video department now here, he walks around doing George W. Bush's father.
Yes.
George Herbert Walker Bush, when he was president from 88 to 92. And that's all he does.
And by the way, he's not even doing President Bush. He's doing the Dana Carvey impression of President Bush is actually what he's doing.
That's correct. But we got this call. This guy has called a couple of times doing his impression of Tommy Lee.
Hey, Mike, it's me, your secret lover, Tommy Lee. Yeah, I'm just wondering if I should wear a dress or a tux to the prom. I'm thinking a dress, so when we're sitting at the table, you can rub my with your feet like in the movies. Yeah, let me know, sweetie. Oh, by the way, yeah, tell Ralph he left his panties at my place. Have a good day at work, baby doll. Yeah, ripping and shredding all night long. Psycho Mike on Tommy's giant.
you can see, he's not necessarily Tommy Lee.
He's really more like any number of HB stoners, is
yes,
what he sounds like.
There is that as well.
But he throws in the catchphrases that we know, the rip it and shred it and stuff, that identify him as Tommy Lee. But, yeah, it's not particular. I mean, like last week when we were giving away tickets to April Foolishness, when the King of Mexico was doing his Ray Romano, I mean, I would close my eyes, and it was like Everybody Loves Raymond was in the studio. That's
true.
How uncanny it was.
Yeah, Bean, that's me.
Okay, so
I'm Ray.
or Kermit the Frog stopped by with a head cold. I don't know. I can't tell.
So that's Dave doing Ray Romano. Everybody seems to have at least one person that they try to do. It seems like that. So if you have that, call us at 1-800-520-1067, and we will put you on the air. Let's start with Jesus, who's calling from Riverside. Good morning, Jesus.
Good morning.
I'm not going to ask what celebrity. Why don't you do it, and then we will guess.
Kevin and Bean, you know what I mean? I just want to go. I want to be on air. You know what I mean? I'm serious. You know what I mean? Mickey's telling me, you're too fat. You're too fat. You can't make movies. You can't fight no more. You know what I mean? I just want to fight. You know what I mean? I just want to fight.
Okay,
I want to be in the radio with you. You know what I mean?
Clearly, you're trying to do Sylvester Stallone, but it sounds like you're doing a drunk Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, come on, guys.
I'm sorry.
Very well job done, baby.
Very well job done.
Nick is in Culver City. He's on line 3. We want to take your calls with the celebrity impressions you do at 1-800-520-1067. Nick, don't tell us who it is. Just go ahead and lay it on us.
Ah, yes. Kevin and Bean, how are you this morning?
Wow.
Better keep going.
Keep going, yeah.
I
am going to tell you, though, that you're not doing the voice of an impression. You may be doing a wacky voice. You may be thinking of a celebrity in your head. There's not one coming out of your mouth.
You know what? I think that is a mixture of two celebrities. One is Arnold Schwarzenegger, and the other is Sean Connery. It's kind of a mixture of those two.
Well, I do both. It's just that Sean Connery is the better of the two. That's what I was going for.
Okay.
Ouch.
The one that you just did is the better of the two?
Yeah.
All right.
That's good.
Nice work. Thank you, Nick.
This is what we call the Ralph Garman job security break.
Yeah.
That's what this is. There's no danger of Ralph being replaced anytime soon.
Yeah, all these right. guys blow.
We do have the governor on the phone. We'll go to him after a break, and we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Your celebrity impressions right after this on the World Famous.
Trust us when we say we are not putting ourselves on a pedestal when it comes to doing voices.
Of course not.
We don't actually do that. Ralph does most of the voices here. Omar does the mayor.
Oh, come on.
He does a pretty good job on that, I think.
Oh.
He does the mayor, he does K-Fed, he does Tommy Lee. Omar is the man of 1,000 voices, actually. But Kevin, Bean, Mike, none of us do voices. But we are taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you've got a celebrity voice that you're particularly proud of. By the way, so far we're what, 0 for 2 or 0 for 3, however many calls
that's
we've
correct,
taken.
Yes.
We have not been impressed. They do not sound as good to us as they do to you. But let's see what you got. Let's start with, Regina and Silmar on line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Regina, thanks for holding on. Don't tell us what the voice is. Just do it and see if we can recognize it.
Hey, guys, I'm going home. Is that my story? Guys, I lost some guys.
It's sort of Cartman, I guess. It's trying to be Cartman, right?
Yeah, but I don't know that we would have known that had you not said, screw you guys, I'm going home. Like, had we not recognized those words.
Right.
One testicle! What an asshole!
Yeah, okay, all right.
Thanks for
okay. calling. Thank you.
Should I try again?
No.
No, really shouldn't,
no.
Actually.
Thank you, though.
Thank you. You can entertain your friends now. Let's try Tyler in Sherman Oaks. He's on line 5 on the Kevin Abid Show. Hey, Tyler, let's hear your celebrity voice.
They were killing my Marines. Yes, they deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell.
Louis Farrakhan. Malcolm X.
Do some more.
I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing.
Chris Tucker.
Did sound like Chris Tucker.
Oh, Samuel
Chris
Jackson. Samuel Jackson.
You mean to tell me these snakes are on
crack? Yeah, that's Samuel Jackson. Yeah.
It's not Samuel. That can't have been Samuel Jackson.
That's Samuel Jackson, right?
That sounded nothing like Sam. Tyler, was that really Sam Jackson? Did Kevin guess it?
Dude, that was totally Sam Jackson.
Not even a little bit Sam Jackson. Not even a little bit.
Here's what we're learning. Those of you that tend to try and entertain your friends with your impressions need to stop it.
All right. Jason is in Bellflower on line 6. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's hear your celebrity impression.
Elmo?
Yes, sir.
Get a lot of call for that one?
A lot of call for that.
That's not bad. I mean, it was kind of Elmo-ish.
Omo-ish, whatever.
It was Omo-ish. It's better than the last guy. The last guy was not even in the ballpark of Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah. Hey, all right, Jason.
All right. Thank you.
He's all angry.
He was all happy. He thought there was mad love coming for his elbow. Let's try George in Anaheim, line 7, please. Hey, George, let's hear it.
95.5 KLOS.
Hey. Oh, Peter Griffin laugh.
Yeah.
That's the worst Peter Griffin I've ever heard.
That's the worst one we've got today. That is
what's wrong with you?
That was horrible.
What is wrong with us?
It was horrible. Let me hear it again. Say some Peter Griffin stuff.
You're listening to 95.5 KLOS.
That's the only thing you got, huh?
That laugh.
The laugh is the only I'm telling you, the 95.5, that thing, there's no way in a million years we could have ever guessed that was Peter Griffin.
Wow, I thought we would get some good ones in with these. Didn't you?
I did, yeah.
I mean, you'd think.
Let's try Justin in Long Beach. Hey, Justin, welcome to the show. Let's hear your voice.
Kevin and Bean, how are you boys doing?
Okay.
Pretty good.
Okay, there's a little Hank Hill in that.
Not bad, Hank Hill.
That is correct.
That's maybe the best one so far, and that's not saying a lot. But that's
I will take that compliment.
That's not
bad.
Thank you very much. All
right. It's kind of Hank Hill with a little Jesse Jackson inflection in it for some reason. I didn't understand why, but that's what was going on there. James is in Long Beach on line 1. Hey, James, what voice do you have for us?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Governor,
is it hot?
Oh, yes. It gets hot by a second.
So, thank you for the call. So these are the people that hear us talking about doing impressions, and they think, I got to call with mine.
Sure. Well, we asked them to. Not going to hate on them for calling, but let's try Steve in Claremont. He's on line 5. Mike, you were talking about this off air. This is a voice that a lot of people tried to do, and it's a very difficult one to do well.
All right, go ahead, Steve.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Oh, good.
Ted Kennedy?
Nah, it's Bruce Dickinson. I put my pants on one leg at a time, just like you. But when I do it, I make gold records.
Ooh. Christopher Walken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not really, though, right?
Well, here's the thing. With most of these, we have to identify it by the content. The words he says, that's a Christopher Walken role. So you say Christopher Walken, but no. No. Really, no. Let's do Chris at Anaheim. Good morning, Chris.
What's up, guys? You guys think this is a game of dominoes? What, you think I'm a baggage handler? This is what it is, man. First to make the money.
Mayor Antonio
Villarosa. Got it, man. I'm going to mayor.
That's not bad. Tony Montagna. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's Tony.
All right. Nice job. Good work.
I saw some of that movie this weekend, by the way. It was on the cable this weekend. And I thought, I now can't watch that movie Scarface without seeing Mayor Villarosa. That's all I think now when I hear that voice.
Let's go to Chewy in Long Beach.
Chewy!
Hey, Chew.
Hey, what's happening? Good morning.
Really? All right, do it again, because I'm not sure we can identify it.
Yes.
It's a Chewbacca-powered motorcycle. That would be my guess. Chewbacca probably doesn't get a lot of call for that one, huh?
Every week, once a week, I can do it.
All right.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Laugh it up, fuzzball.
Hey!
106.7, K-Rock is KROQ.
Let's need a little more turning the microphones on.
Kevin and Bean Show, 651.
Congratulations to Michael Lopez from La Puente, another Swede listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Just picked up tickets for Metallica at the Honda Center. Yes, on December the 10th. Tickets go on sale this Saturday morning at 10. And a copy of the Metallica Guitar Hero to play on your brand new Xbox 360. Your chance to win coming up again later this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph has the Showbiz Beat at 6:51.
Before I do the Showbiz Beat, I have tickets to give away to one of my favorite events of the entire year. It is the Paley Festival, where the Paley Center for Media, previously known as Museum of Television Radio, do a series of evenings dedicated to our favorite TV shows, past and present. This year's lineup is very impressive, and they've given me tickets to give away to each and every one of these events. Most of them are well sold out by now. However, if you go to paleycenter.org, you can still buy tickets to some of them. And if you use the password, KROQPF. 09, all 6, in caps.
63FB411.
No, it's KROQPF09 for Paley Festival 09. you can get a discount on tickets. But here's what I'm giving away right now. How about a pair of tickets for the April 15th Evening with Dollhouse? The cast and creators of Dollhouse. That includes Eliza Dushku and Joss Whedon, the man behind not only Dollhouse, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer as well. It's going to be an amazing evening if you're a fan of Dollhouse, and I know a lot of people are. It's a very popular new show over there on Fox. Here's your trivia question. First person through with the correct answer at 1-800-520-1067 will get a pair of tickets to spend the evening with the cast and crew of Dollhouse. Dollhouse, of course, is the dormitory, laboratory, hidden facility where all those smoking hot chicks are mind-wiped and sent into their projects and their missions. Dollhouse is a subsidiary. Let me try that again. Dollhouse is a subsidiary of what mysterious research group? Need the name of the research group that Dollhouse is a subsidiary of, if you know the evil organization. Well, we're not sure if it's evil yet, but if you know the organization, give me a call now. 1-800-520-1067. Here's good news. I don't know if you guys heard about this or not, but in New Jersey, which really is the state that is leading the charge against Ticketmaster and Tickets Now for all the shenanigans that they've been pulling.
Something good is actually coming out of Jersey. How about that?
The federal investigators have subpoenaed Ticketmaster and the brokers who use TicketsNow.com. Federal officials say they'd like to learn how the brokers get those seats that they resell for higher prices.
So would we.
A minute and a half after they go on sale. Yeah, I want to know the answer to that, too.
Yeah. It's been a bone of contention for fans for a long time now. When you go to Ticketmaster, seconds after the tickets go on sale, suddenly tickets are already popping up over on Tickets Now, their sister site, where people get to resell tickets for much higher prices. Representative Bill Pascrell, this is the guy we talked to when this story first broke. He is leading the charge against Ticketmaster in Jersey. Said that authorities will finally have some access to information determining how the brokers get this unfair advantage over the fans. So the state attorney general, the Justice Department, and the Federal Trade Commission are all participating in this investigation, so we should know more soon, hopefully.
That's great. Yeah. I don't know if it was our congressman or someone else, Ralph, but I heard this weekend that somebody has suggested that there be a new policy in place where they have to wait 48 hours before they can sell, the same company can sell tickets on the resale market.
That's a great idea.
Which I think is fair.
Absolutely, more than fair. Especially since most events, the tickets go on sale months in advance of the event. It's not like you're losing any real time, right?
That makes sense. That'd be great.
We have a winner to my trivia question already?
We do. We have Melissa from Valencia.
Melissa, you a fan of Dollhouse?
Yeah, totally a fan.
What's the name of the organization that Dollhouse is a subsidiary of?
Rossum.
The Rossum Corporation.
Yeah! The Rossum Corporation.
That just sounds evil. We're the Rossum Corporation. Not as bad as Massive Dynamic, but
no,
still
but
bad.
Wrong show.
Congratulations, you're going to spend an evening with the cast and creators of Dollhouse.
Oh my God, I'm so excited.
I'm glad a real fan's going to...
I can't believe I actually won something.
You did.
I'm glad a real fan is getting to go. It's April 15th. Hold on, we'll give you all the details, okay?
Okay, sure.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Yes, Rodney. Talk to him, Rodney. Right on top of things,
just
as always.
Finished with them.
Kevin, you'll be happy to know...
Yes.
...that they have found... more ways to make money off the Beatles.
Yes, I hope they found some lost songs.
Just announced today, they are releasing an entirely new series of the entire Beatles back catalog on CD this fall.
Wait a minute. They're all on CD already? They're just going to rearrange them?
But now these are all remastered versions
of
the CDs. So now people will have to buy these CDs all over again.
Are they supposedly better sound?
They're completely remastered. They're saying they've gone back and redone all of the audio on these. And it's a 12 original British albums plus a couple other albums as well.
Wow. Well, I will say this. Usually it's a ripoff when they come out, you know, 3 years later with a remastered version. But the Beatles were among some of the first albums ever made on CDs. So the technology has changed quite a bit in terms of what they're able to do with cleaning those tapes up.
But you want to... buy all of those songs again, Bean?
I don't.
That's,
I don't
was going to say, has it changed enough that you have to rebuy every single album?
That's the question.
Well, you know, especially in a giant box set where you get horked even more on the cost.
Yeah.
The truth is that most people who want those songs now are waiting for them to show up on iTunes, and they'll just own them digitally anyway. They don't even need them on a remastered CD.
They're also releasing 10 albums that were recorded in mono, the original mono mixes of those albums. That's right, another set. So far we're up to 24 new CDs coming out in September.
Okay.
And at the same time, they'll be releasing original stereo mixes from the British CDs of Help and Rubber Soul. That's two more discs.
They're not included in the first set of all the discs of all their songs?
No.
Well, stop it.
And that's also the same month, by the way, this fall, that Beatles Rock Band, the video game, will be released. So, be a lot of Beatles in your future, Kevin. That's all I'm telling you.
Good times.
They never stop finding ways to make money off this band.
Yes, they. That's correct.
Very impressive. It is a cash machine. Star Trek. Can you wait? May 8th?
The movie?
Yeah.
No, that looks great.
Oh, it looks so good. People have already had a chance to see it. The prequel premiered at the Sydney Opera House yesterday in Sydney, Australia.
Crikey.
The entire cast was there. Film opens there May 7th, the day before it opens here in the United States. I don't know why. I think it's BS. Bunch of criminals down there in Australia. Why do they get to see things before us?
Everyone down there is a criminal?
Yes.
Huh.
But over the weekend at the Alamo Draft House in Austin, Texas. Are you familiar with that? The Alamo Draft House?
I don't think so.
Became popular in South by Southwest, I guess. It's like a bar that shows movies, and it's become sort of a hangout for movie geeks to go there
kind of a cool
and drink and watch movies. There was a special screening of The Wrath of Khan. Khan! One of the original Star Trek movies.
Like 3 of 7? How many movies were there?
Big screen. There were like 10 Star Trek movies altogether, but with the original cast, I think they only made 5, I think. Anyway.
And this one included
DJ Omar Khan.
Exactly, The Wrath of DJ Omar Khan. Apparently, Leonard Nimoy shows up. It says...
in Austin?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And so everyone's, freaked out to see Spock show up, when they're watching The Wrath of Khan. He says, how would you like to see 10 minutes of the new movie?
That's cool.
So people's heads explode even more so. And then he comes back and says, I'm sorry, we're having technical difficulties. We can only show you the whole movie. How would you like to see the entire new movie?
That's pretty cool.
So all these geeks who got together to watch an old Star Trek movie are treated to a special screening of the new movie, which I thought was pretty cool.
When did Spock get wacky? Man, I'm sorry. We can't show you the 10 minutes. We've only got the whole thing.
I think he loosened up after being interviewed by you, Kevin. I think you were the one that taught him really how to have fun. How to have a good time interview when you insulted his work.
I did not.
I think that's when he especially.
I insulted the women that he was taking pictures
learned
of.
Learned to have a good time.
No, I was insulting him
you.
Too.
Didn't have wide enough lens.
Kevin has problems with the legends. Yesterday he wouldn't. He wasn't going to be happy until the great Adam West, TV's Batman, cried, and apparently he tried to bring down Spock.
You peaked in the '60s. Was it '66? Was it that when you peaked? Was
that is
it?
Not
okay,
what I
great.
Said.
Good for you.
Is that the last thing you did of any value to anyone ever?
Yeah.
What was that?
Comics. But on the list of important things that you've done, you peaked in 1960. What was that? Over 8? 1969? When was?
Kevin, I don't like your choice of words.
Yeah. Nice work. In the list of things that you've done, you peaked in, what, 68?
But I was talking about for Ralph. Ralph's appreciation of him.
That didn't enter into what you said at all.
It did just before the clip he played, of course. Look, I may not have said it well. That's
remember
possible.
When you were good, Adam? Remember when you were a contributing member of society? I don't.
See, this
I
is...
don't like your choice of words, Kevin.
See, this is bogus because I didn't care about the 1966 Batman.
I can
still
tell.
Don't.
I can tell you didn't care about his feelings either.
But I
like
the stuff he
him.
Does today more than I did then. So it's not me saying that. I was saying in Ralph's eyes.
He's an old man, Kevin. Let him go peacefully, okay?
And I don't like your tone of words either, by the way, Island Boy. Well, I think you two should both just let me interview him next time. Because that was just bad on every level.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Patricia Arquette's 41 years old. Today, Robin Wright Penn turns 43. Biz Markie.
Woo!
Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
Get a little biz for me? A little Markie?
Oh, baby, you.
Uh-huh.
Got what I need.
Yeah.
But you say he's just a friend.
Mm-hmm.
But you say he's just a friend. Oh, baby, you. Got what I need.
That's beautiful music right there.
Wow.
I need more bass drum.
But you say he's just a friend.
45 years
old. Omar remix
today.
There.
Izzy Stradlin from Guns N' Roses is 47. John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard and Smallville turns 49. Today I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is an action-packed hour on the Kevin Bean Show. Not only do we have your Social D, your Kings of Leon, your Radiohead coming up, we'll talk to actress Jamie Presley, and we'll talk to Cal Penn, whose character of Kuttner was killed off on House a couple of nights ago. And when you find out why he's leaving the show, when you find out the pay cut he's taking, you won't believe it. We'll talk to him in just a few minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Why do you have $20, Ralph?
Just found it on the floor.
What?
Just
really?
Just walked in the studio, found this on the floor. Boom.
It's mine. It's mine. Nip. I dropped it.
Awesome.
I wonder if our intern dropped it.
Yep. That's Kevin's money.
Because you gave Tiny Dancer money to go get food.
Right. Yeah. And she went to get food and now doesn't have money.
Huh.
Wonder how she'll get that. I wonder how she'll pay for that food.
I don't care. I have $20. That's all I know.
I know how she'll pay for that food.
Yeah. All she right. looks so hot today, too, by the way.
She's unbelievable. Oh. She's more beautiful every time you see
so
her.
So sexy.
It's a 7:10 of the Kevin and Bean Show. It's come to our attention that our friend Kevin hates. And the older he gets, the more curmudgeonly he becomes.
Oh, that's not true.
It's so true. There's so many random things now that Kevin doesn't just not like. He gets furious that other people do like them. And I don't know what's going on with him. What do you think's happening, Ralph?
Here's the thing. I am not one to put down hate.
You love
hate.
Oh, you love hate.
I love hate, and I try to foster it wherever I go. I'm all in favor of hate.
Right.
Like, you know, like last night, I was coming out of a mall, and a woman was in the line to exit out of the mall in one of those automated garages, where when you get out of the mall and you get to go to your car, you have to go to the automated pay booth with your card to
right.
get out. You have to prepay for your parking, and then as you go out, you just stick it in the kiosk, and the gate opens, and you exit. Well, this woman doesn't have to follow the rules. She doesn't have to read every – there's 9 million signs around saying you have to prepay for your parking because there are no attendants on duty when you leave.
Yeah.
She can ignore that, and she can just get in the aisle in front of me and get to the gate and just sit there honking her horn because the gate won't open until someone comes out 15 minutes later to deal with her issues.
Yeah, she should be taken
out. I hate her.
And you should. That's a good hate.
However, your hate, Kevin
– is – is as relevant.
Is inexplicable.
No, it makes perfect sense to
weird,
me.
Weird, random.
Oh, how dare you.
Mostly innocuous and harmless things you hate for no reason.
I hate only the important things.
No, you hate little puppies and clouds and things that never hurt anyone you have an unbridled hatred for.
First of all, I don't care either way about clouds, but I love puppies. I'll say
Let's find out what Kevin hates today with our new feature called Why Does Kevin Hate?
Why does Kevin hate old people? Why does Kevin hate baseball? Why does Kevin hate? Why does he hate the Beatles, Al Roker, and wine drinkers? Why does Kevin hate anything made before 1985? That is so dumb. What will Kevin hate today?
That song, because he didn't rhyme 88 with Kevin hate, went with 85.
So, last week, I'm down for the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness. This is Bean speaking. And I see for the first time in the parking lot at K-Rock that one of our employees has bought one of those smart cars. And it's the first time I've seen it there because I haven't been to the station. So I see it. I say to somebody, wow, that smart car is awesome. I haven't had a chance to see one of those up close. And Kevin says, I don't even remember the exact words, but it was something to the effect
of, smart cars are BS.
You wanted to kill the smart car, kill the person who owned the smart car, kill everybody who's ever driven a smart car.
No.
Smart cars are BS. I effing hate smart cars.
They are. They're dumb.
Like,
they're just stupid.
How can you hate smart cars? They're fine.
You know, if you haven't seen these smart cars.
They're small cars.
That doesn't even begin to describe them.
Well, actually, it does. Like, it does
like
begin to describe them.
They're
small cars.
You're not given the idea of how small it is. I mean, it really is like 1/10 of a Mini Cooper. It's really a ridiculously dumb
car. What if, in the interest of time, we concede your point that it's a really small car?
Okay. It's small.
Then what? Why do you hate that? Because it's a small car.
Why is that to be hated?
Because, look, I get the economy. I get you need gas mileage, all that BS. But
right.
The very first time that person runs into, you know, say, a blade of grass, they're going to total it. If they were to get in an accident, there would be nothing left. Nothing. Except for dust.
So you obviously hate motorcycles then, because there's even less protection on a motorcycle there is in a smart car.
No, because the smart car actually is less safe than a motorcycle. I'm not sure how.
Is it?
I haven't figured all that out yet. But the back of the car is about 1 inch from your back, and the front of the car is about 1 inch from your head. And that's smart right until you hit something, and then it's foolish beyond words.
Then tell me why you don't hate motorcycles then, if the main reason you hate smart cars is you don't think they're safe to drive.
Even if you don't think they're safe to drive, it would foster some concern, I think, but not hatred.
Well,
you know why you hate the car?
Because they name it the smart car as well. They put smart on it.
Oh, you hate it because it makes you feel dumb.
No.
Because you think the car is smarter than you are?
No.
Because it's called smart?
Because it isn't smart, and they name it smart.
It is smart in that it's easy to park, and it gets like 50 miles to the gallon. I mean, it seems like both of those things would make you go, wow, I'd almost like to think about getting one of those because there's so many advantages to
it. Except for the whole death part of it. Except for the whole part where you run into a curb and total it.
I haven't heard about them being unduly dangerous.
You seen the person in them driving on the road?
Yes, I have.
The distance between your bumper and their physical body is about a quarter of an inch.
Well, it makes me think they must have worked that into the engineering of the automobile somehow. They must have considered that.
If you're going to have to avoid, say, raindrops, otherwise you'll go down the drain system out into the ocean in your stupid car. Maybe you shouldn't call it a smart car. Maybe it isn't that smart.
To sell any cars in the United States that don't meet a minimum safety requirement on the road.
Have you seen those cars?
This isn't the Tata from India that literally you can't sell in the United States because they're so dangerous, because they have no safety features.
I don't know that I've seen that one, but I can't imagine it's not different. I mean,
this
that it is
every safety feature that is built into other cars, though, in a smart car, though, in terms of airbags and things like that.
So if you look at the smart car and go, you know what, that's not for me.
It's not smart.
I can understand that.
That's not very smart.
But I effing hate smart cars. That's what confuses me.
I think
me.
I am the most concerned about the environment out of everyone that's concerned about the environment.
It comes back to this again, does it? It's like wine drinkers.
I think that's part of it.
You think they're car snobs?
Yeah, they get better mileage than anybody, and look at me, I'm driving a smart car. Boom! They're gone.
Okay, that's not very smart. What if it's not about the environment? What if it's about I am poor and I need to maximize my gas buying dollars?
So that I can die in the next week.
What if I live in the city and this provides me optimal parking situations?
That's fine until you get hit in the parking lot by a car going 5 miles an hour and you're dust.
Wow.
It's not smart.
But you hate it.
Well, they should just name it something else. Maybe it's poorly named.
Is that what it is? You hate the name,
maybe. Because it's not smart. I look at that's smart, it says. I go, no, BS, that's not smart. That's dumb.
So if it were the GM Death Trap, you'd be all over it.
Yes, that's accurately named. The Death Trap.
Okay.
I might buy one if it was called the Death Trap.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have learned why Kevin hates.
Why does Kevin hate?
Motocross legend Carrie Hart joins us next hour on the Kevin Beach. We'll talk to actor Cal Penn in just a few minutes. Right now, though, how about a return visit with our friend Jamie Presley from My Name is Earl. Also, of course, in the big hit movie called I Love You, Man. And like, that's not enough for Jamie being a multimedia star. She has to have a best-selling book out now called It's Not Necessarily the Truth, Dreaming Bigger Than the Town You're From. Hey, Jamie, welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I think the name is It's Not Necessarily Not the Truth. Which one is it?
Oh, did I screw that up? I'm sorry.
It's Not Necessarily Not the Truth. It's title.
Okay.
Okay. That's a funny title. Why did you pick that? What's the subtext I should be getting from that title, Jamie?
Well, my uncle, Tommy, back in North Carolina, he came up with it. He didn't mean to.
It was an accident?
He was telling me a story. I was about 8.5 months pregnant. I was getting ready to fly to New York. It was the last time I could fly. And I was going, actually, to meet with HarperCollins and a bunch of other publishers. Sorry, my son's going crazy.
Sounds like Desi wants to get on the interview.
Desi's in on the interview. anyway, I was telling him a story that I had written already that was going to be in the book about when I asked Granddaddy Presley when I was a kid if we were related to Elvis Presley or not. And he gave me this long, drug-out story, and I said, is that really true? And he said, I don't know, is it? And my Uncle Tommy said, have you ever seen a picture of Elvis's father and Granddaddy Presley side by side? And they were really close in age and everything, and he showed me two pictures. And I looked, and I couldn't tell which one was which. They were identical. And
wow.
You can see, so it's not necessarily not the truth. And I went,
there's
the title.
I got you.
Was it way harder to write a book than you thought it would be? Because it seems like it would be. I can't even imagine how you'd start a project like this.
It was crazy. It was absolutely crazy and way more difficult than I could ever have imagined. The process is pretty gnarly. It's therapeutic, but it's also therapeutic when you don't want to be in therapy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
You're going through, you're remembering things you'd rather not. But also I had, you know, I had help from a woman, a friend of mine named Mary Nana Amadankwa. She's from Ghana, Africa. She's an amazing, amazing writer, and she helped me through the process because, I mean, obviously I've never written a book before, so
right.
I did need, you know, help on how to put it all together. So we basically put it all, I told all the stories on tape, 36 hours of it, and then it was all transcribed, and then we laid it out that way.
How about that? Here's a question I've been dying to get you on and ask you about this, Jamie, because you're from a part of North Carolina that's not too far from where my daddy is from. And I find out so much in, especially in Los Angeles, that there are so many people that I run into, and maybe you do too, that automatically look down on states in the South. And I wondered if you ever ran into that when you came out and decided to be an actress. Oh, she's a Southern girl. She's from North Carolina, so she must be dumb, or she must not be sophisticated.
Yeah, they assume that we have no clue. We have no culture. They assume that we are completely uncouth, and the cut's visible. They just think we're rednecks, and they don't.
Right.
They don't think we, you know, they think the Southern dialect just sounds ignorant.
Right.
So they right away, if they hear you talking like this, then all of a sudden you're the moron.
Yeah, well, that's kind of true. Did that worry you a little bit about the role that you chose to play as Joy on My Name is Earl, that you're maybe kind of reinforcing a little bit of those stereotypes by playing that character?
You know, it doesn't worry me because it's a comedy. It would worry me if it was a drama.
Yeah.
You know, then it would be something that you're taking more seriously. But this is a comedy. It's meant to be funny. And it's a little over the top, obviously. And it's, you know, I mean, the character of Joy is four different Southern dialects put into one. You know, when she wants something, she's from, you know, all of a sudden she has this sing-songy Georgian accent.
Right.
And you know, when she's angry, she gets a little bit of Tennessee and Texas in her, you know, and then just everyday regular, there's, you know, the North Carolina kind of in there somewhere. So
right.
She's just a mixture of a bunch of people that I, you know, have watched and my people watching, you know, back home. And also that, you know, Greg Garcia, our creator of our show and our brilliant writers, they write this stuff for me. It's not like I get to improv it.
But I also get the idea that your character is smarter and more on the ball than everyone around her gives her credit for. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I mean, it's like Crabman is the smartest one of all.
Right.
And you look at him like he's the idiot, but he ends up being the smartest one of all always with this, like articulate, you know, ridiculous vocabulary. It's like he's like a thesaurus all the time. He's, you know, and then there's Joy, who you think doesn't know what she's doing, because half the time she's drunk off margaritas.
Sure.
But she actually has a lot of heart, as harsh as she is, and she actually knows pretty much everything she's doing, and she's doing it for a reason.
We're talking to actress Jamie Presley right now, author Jamie Presley. The book is called It's Not Necessarily Not the Truth. I think I got it right that time. And it's in stores now. By the way, Jamie is going to be doing a book signing tonight, and you're going to be at the Borders Books at South Coast Plaza in Costa Mesa tonight at 6 o'clock. Have you done book signings before, and what's the turnout been like, and what kind of things do people want to talk to you about, Jamie?
The turnout's been great. I did a couple in New York, and I did a couple here, and my last one is tonight in Orange County. It's been really great. The people that come are actual, you know, it's not like I wrote my you know, autobiographical memoir at 31. It's, you know, that would be obnoxious. You do that at like 60, 70 years old.
This right.
It's like stories from my life. And the people that are coming are like real fans that have been fans for years. And they're like salt of the earth people. And those are the people that I love being around anyway. So they've all been really great and gracious and everybody just wants to come and kind of shake my hand, and everybody has like certain little questions they ask me about the show and stuff.
What's the question you get the most?
Sorry, what?
What is the question that you get the most from people?
If Joy and I are alike at all?
Ah, yes.
How Joy and I are alike?
Ah, yes.
And we already asked that one.
Do you like crab men? That kind of stuff?
Do you really go to the crab shack?
Let me give out the information again for folks who want to come down and meet you tonight. You'll be shaking hands and signing copies of the new book tonight at 6 o'clock at the Borders Books at South Coast Plaza in Costa Mesa. My name is Earl. Of course, airs Tuesday nights at 8 on NBC. And I Love You, Man is in theaters everywhere now. And it's so funny. And you and Jon Favreau are so great in that movie, Jamie. Appreciate you coming on today. Thanks so much for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Bye now.
We have Kerry Hart joining us in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. Plus, we're going to give you more tickets for Metallica at the Honda Center, your brand new Xbox 360, and a copy of Metallica Guitar Hero, which, Kevin, have you decided is too tough for you? You're not going to go that route with the
Guitar
Hero?
Well, the Metallica songs on the other Guitar Heroes were a little difficult for me.
Yes.
It
seems
so,
like it might be hard.
I don't know
that
I'm going to be able to pull that off, but apparently it's a little easier than those, so maybe.
All right, 7:40. One of the most shocking episodes of one of the best shows on TV aired this Monday night on Fox. I hate to be a spoiler here. If you haven't already watched it, if you TiVo'd it, you're out of luck because we're going to spill
dies.
The beans.
House dies.
House is fine.
Oh.
House is fine.
Oh.
But unfortunately, Dr. Kuttner is no longer with us, and now we know why, because actor Cal Penn has other plans, and he doesn't care about his fans who have made him a big star on that TV show. He's basically turning his back on us. Am I right, Cal Penn?
No, of course not. Come on.
You dick! Cal.
Sorry. How are
you guys? What are you doing, dude? What are you doing?
Where should I start the story?
Yeah, that's
I've talked to you guys about this a lot before, that how, you know, I was always extremely passionate about acting, and I still am, but I was going to grad school, I think the last time we talked, in mm-hmm. international studies, and doing a whole bunch of things kind of quietly on the side, I had the desire to work in public service. I didn't want to retire from acting. That's not what I'm doing, so it's not like a Joaquin Phoenix style publicity stunt or
yeah.
anything. But when, I expressed interest in continuing serving the Obama administration after he was elected. And
do you work with him during the election a lot?
Yeah, I joined the campaign as a volunteer in 2007 and then worked on the Arts Policy Committee and kind of continued through until he got elected. And that's kind of when I went to David Shore, who created House, and I said, look, I kind of want to continue this public service for a while. And I think the first thing he said was, so you want off the show? Are you telling me that you really want to go work on Desperate Housewives or CSI New York? And I'm like, no.
You know, that's funny because there are a lot of actors and or actresses that might want to do something else, but you're almost so superstitious about the good jobs coming and going and maybe being out of work or whatever. You hate to step away from a successful, you know, empire like House has. And was that scary for you or not at all?
No, for sure. I mean, you know, you always think about that I've been an actor or aspiring actor for the better part of the last 10 years. And to put that on hold is obviously pretty scary. But I do have a passion for public service. It was something I was pursuing on the side. And it's an incredible honor to have the chance to work at the White House. So I'm looking forward to it. I definitely am also looking forward to coming back to acting at some point. But it was definitely a scary decision, but I think you got to mix it up a little bit every now and then if you've got a passion for something else.
Yeah.
For folks who haven't heard about it, what is the job title you're going to be having, Cal?
I'm going to be working in the Office of Public Liaison at the White House, and what that basically is they're the proverbial front door to the White House. So they allow ordinary Americans to share their stories and their ideas about a number of important issues like healthcare or the arts or education or energy. And
my first thought is how quickly you're going to tire of hearing those stories. Have you done this type? Well, the people, you know, it seems like the people who speak the loudest a lot of time are the wackos or whatever, and then you just go, okay, all right. Pass that right along to the president. Thanks for your time.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't started yet, and my start date is still to be determined. But I would imagine that there are a number of folks with really great ideas. I know that there are a number of constituency groups already. I'm mostly dealing with the arts community and Asian Pacific American community. So those are folks who I've worked with a lot on the Arts Policy Committee and also by, you know, teaching Asian American studies. So I'm just looking forward to it. I think it's going to be an incredible honor to do that.
I don't mean this in a negative way at all, Cal, but do you look at it and think that as one person you can really make a difference back in Washington? I mean, do you feel that it's something that will be effective for you? Or will it be frustrating?
I mean,
are you worried that you're going to go out there and you're going to be one of a million, you know, bureaucrats in a system and it's going to be difficult for you to affect any kind of real change?
Well, I think that my personal experiences have just been that, you know, I was always involved in public service, but never in politics, and I'm still a registered independent, and I've voted for Democrats and Republicans in the past. And like any job, you've got good days and you have bad days. When I approached these folks about this job, you know, one of the things I said is, you know, if there is a place for me, I want to make sure that I'm not treated any differently just because I'm coming from a film or TV career.
Oh, that's such a mistake, dude. You want to be treated a little differently.
No, but
come on.
You know, they responded when I got the job offer. They also had said, you know, we want you to know that you're not being hired because of anything like that. You're being hired because of your arts policy work and your teaching experience. And so, you know, I am a believer in everyone being able to make their small difference in some sort of a way, and I'm looking forward to it.
Have you had any kind of meaningful FaceTime with the president or the senator before he was elected?
I think a lot of us who started on the campaign early, and it was a relatively small knit group of folks who were working out in Iowa. So I got to know him and his staff pretty well, and that was something that kept driving me back to continue to volunteer. Was their integrity was something I hadn't seen before.
Do you when you left the set of House, did you say, "All right, everybody, I'm seeing you. I got to go to the White House now. I'm on my way to the White House. I'll see you guys later. White House. I'm going to. Well, I don't know. I'm going to work."
Did you rub it in?
Going to work at the White House.
They were crappy TV stars.
And we shot that last episode like a month and a half ago, but we've all hung out a lot since then. We're a pretty close-knit group of cast members, so I've seen them since, and I'll probably see them again next week.
Yeah, just a second. Barack's on the phone. I'll be right back. I got to go take this call.
Hey, when the episode aired on Monday night, Cal, had you seen that one before? Had you seen how your death was handled on the show?
I was in that scene. Those were my legs.
Okay.
You can't fake the legs.
No, leg acting is very difficult. But I hadn't seen it, no. So it was actually – I was intrigued by the whole thing. I mean, I read the script, so I knew what was going to happen. But the thing that kind of really got me at the end was when Peter Jacobson's character, Taub, like leans back and breaks down crying.
Yeah.
That's what got me.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody deals with your death differently. Some just try to pretend like it's no big deal. Oh, well, life is for the living. And then other people are shaken to the core. I think we've got a clip from this Monday night's episode, and you hear a little bit of Dr. House. He's trying he's basically, you know, berating his team, of which you were a member, to figure out how this possibly could happen.
He didn't say anything to any of you. Family problems, bad relationship, financial pressures.
His parents were shot right in front of him.
Parents are ancient history.
Not to someone who actually cares.
And slit his wrists and peacefully drift away. He shot himself. He didn't leave a note. It means panic, which could have been preempted if the idiots who worked alongside him for 80 hours a week had seen this coming.
You're blaming us?
I'm starting to figure it out.
Have you seen the message boards, Cal? Have you seen the uproar from your fans?
I looked a little bit, but as a general rule, I learned early on never to look at message boards.
It's so crazy. There are people who are typing up there, "I'm never going to watch House again. How could they do this? Kuttner was my favorite character. God damn you to hell." It's just so funny how people get wrapped up in those stories on shows like that.
Somebody explained it to me this way once, because when we first joined House, I looked at the message boards and I was horrified. I'm like, "Oh my God, everybody hates us."
Right.
And then somebody said, "Well, you know, it's kind of like an airline. If you have a really great flight, you're not going to write them a letter and be like, thanks for the awesome flight. But if something went wrong, you're going to write the nastiest letter." So it's sort of like, you know, everyone's got an opinion. If somebody didn't creatively like it, they're going to, you know, exercise their voice. And so I poked around a little bit the other night and was intrigued at all the responses. I think, though, that the responses were kind of what the writers were going for. They wanted the audience to experience the same kind of shock and loss and anger that the characters did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you definitely shook it up. I mean, it's already a great show, but I mean, it was a real curveball, because even though, you know, we had heard the rumors that something big was coming this season, I don't think anybody thought it was going to be you leaving the show.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But I guess we just have to wish you well. One last question for you, Cal. Sure. Has John Cho been on the phone yet begging for Harold and Kumar from White Castle to White House?
No, John is about to, I think he's in Australia right now for the new Star Trek movie.
Oh.
Because that's about to come out. So they're starting publicity on that, and I think he's doing a second one of those next year.
So he'll hit you up in about 3 months. We can film it at night when there's not that many
kidding?
People.
I'm going to be hitting him up for tickets to Star Trek.
To Star Trek, yeah.
Exactly. Well, it's very exciting. I hope we talk to you in a year and you feel like you were energized and you made the right decision and you're making a difference and you're loving it out there in Washington. You're not going to like the winters, though. I'll tell you that, Cal. I used to live in D.C. December's going to suck for you, my friend.
August 2, from what I understand, right?
Yes, that is true, too. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You know, we're a big fan of yours. We've had you on many times over the years, and we love the house. We're going to be sorry to see Dr. Kuttner go, but we wish you the best in Washington. Thanks a lot, dude.
Thanks, guys, and I love listening to you in the morning, so I appreciate your support.
Thank you, Cal.
I'm Nora Wells with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Nora. It is 7:53 now. Kerry Hart right after the top of the hour. First, it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
We got to get a picture of that Nora.
Right?
Sounds
yeah,
hot.
Yeah, I'm very curious. She sounds so hot.
Yes. It's nice.
We'll work on that.
You know, the Pally Fest is going on. Pally Fest 09. This is one of my favorite events of the year. It is a month and a half, I guess, they take. And they spend evenings with some of our favorite TV shows, both past and present. The cast and creators of these shows are made available to you to hear them talk about how the shows came about, what it's like to work on the show. You get to ask them questions, spend an intimate evening with your favorite TV people. I'm giving away tickets, a pair of tickets, for fans of The Big Bang Theory. Very funny sitcom over on CBS. It is April 16th, an evening with The Big Bang Theory, its cast and creators. If you'd like to go, you have to answer a trivia question about the show. You know the star of the show, Johnny...
We have a winner, believe it or not.
I'm pretty sure we don't. Johnny Galecki is the star of the show. Of course, he was also on a previous smash hit sitcom. I need the name of that sitcom and the name of his character he played on that show. Johnny Galecki. Call now. 1-800...
It's on TV. You could see that.
Yes, exactly.
On television.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. Thank you, Rodney. Sad news coming out of Eugene, Oregon today. Apparently, this week, a man shot himself to death in a movie theater while watching Watchmen.
What?
Dude.
Yeah, he was a 24-year-old man, went into the screening of Watchmen, sat down, and then shot himself in the head, killed himself.
I could see that apparently, at Paul Blart, but not at Watchmen.
Apparently, witnesses say the guy just had too much blue penis. Could not take another shot of Dr. Manhattan's giant blue penis. Could
that was
not take it.
Featured more prominently than I had expected.
Decided just had to take himself out. Yeah. Couldn't take one more blue penis. You know how it is when you've had too much blue penis.
You don't have to tell us.
Yeah. Now we know who to blame for Scarlett Johansson's amazing shrinking boobs. That whore Gwyneth Paltrow.
What?
Oh, God, dumb bitch.
Why does she want to tear her down?
It's to make herself look better.
Come on.
As all ugly girls do to beautiful women.
Yes.
They always want them to look less attractive so they can look better out in public. Apparently, the two of them are working together on Iron Man, the sequel.
Yeah.
And so Gwyneth has put Scarlett Johansson on her diet.
Nope.
Yes.
No.
Uh-huh.
That's not all right.
Scarlett has lost 14 pounds since she began working with Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't know if you've seen the recent photos.
I have not.
But she is skinny.
You dick!
The curves are gone. The boobs are smaller. It's just bad on That's every level.
Unacceptable. And you know, wow. I love Mike Winnie. You know that. But this will not stand.
I'm sending out a team of people to handle it. Don't worry about it.
I'm supporting you.
You will hear the news sometime this week.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
Blow dart to the back of the neck. Gwyneth Paltrow. Going to be thrown in the back of a van for a stern talking to. I have a winner for my trivia question.
Yes, Elizabeth in Burbank.
Elizabeth?
Yeah.
What was the hit sitcom Johnny Galecki starred on previously?
Roseanne.
And his character's name?
David Healy.
Congratulations. Are you overjoyed?
Yeah, I am very happy.
Yeah, you sound like it.
I'll bet you're at work.
I am off to walk in right now.
Oh, all right.
All right. Well, have a good day at work. Hold on. We'll give you all the details. You're going to spend an evening with the cast and creators of The Big Bang Theory.
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome. I'll be giving away tickets to each of the nights as they come up. So.
Those are fun.
Stay tuned for more. It is a great event. Last night on Idol. It was one of my favorite weeks. Perform a song that came from the year that you were born in.
Woo!
Week.
So?
What a great theme.
So?
It's amazing to me that these kids have, you know, how many songs come out in a year, right?
Yeah.
How many hit songs in a year?
I don't know.
100?
Hundreds.
Probably. All those songs to choose from, invariably, almost all of them picked the crappiest song you could possibly think of.
What a surprise. That's my complaint with the show.
I did notice that, like, who ever needs to hear ever Part-Time Lover by Stevie Wonder again? Like, why would you ever choose that song?
That song, that's Stevie Wonder's. That's Stevie Wonder's worst song he's ever recorded.
Yeah, he doesn't even do that song anymore. Why would you do that on American Idol if you have a chance to pick anything from that year? I think it was 1985.
Yeah, do you really need to hear Don Henley's All She Wants to Do Is Dance anymore?
No!
Nope.
That dated old crap fest?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible. But the one guy I did impress was Adam Lambert.
He
gay
did.
Adam?
Gay Adam, who I call the gay Elvis impersonator, because when he slicks his hair back, he looks like one of the bad Elvises from Vegas. He sang Mad World by Tears for Fears, and apparently the version he sang was the version from the Donnie Darko soundtrack.
The Gary Jules version.
Gary Jules, which was a big hit in England, apparently, and in Bean's house.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was a big, it was a big record here, too.
It's not ringing any bells.
Me either. Welcome to my world, Ralph.
Yeah. But we have a little clip here so you can hear the Duke. I find it hard to tell you because I find it hard to take. When people run in circles, it's a very, very
mad world. I went to school. That's
Duke can sing.
Strange choice, but that sounded good.
Yeah, he's really good.
Huh. By the way, I laughed, Kevin. One of the contestants, Allison, I know Ralph is a big fan of hers.
Yes.
Southern California redhead is, I guess she's 16. She was born the week of the L.A. riots.
Oh, good times.
April of 92, I think they mentioned
she,
on the show.
She sang that
day.
Sublime song. Yeah, getting a mother effing couch.
And I was thinking how funny it was that somebody was born the week of the riots is now on television as an entertainer.
Yeah, she sang I Can't Make You Love Me, but Bonnie Raitt did a really good job.
Yeah,
I don't think she'll be in the bottom three this week.
There's nothing you people are saying that makes me wish I was watching this show.
Here's the thing about American Idol, though, that someone has to say out loud.
Right.
Paula Abdul, sit the F down.
Yes, please.
She gets out of her chair and, like, dances now to every song that everyone performs every week.
Hmm.
Not every one of the songs can move you to your feet, Paula. Just sit the F down. You're supposed to be a judge with some... Act like you've been someplace before, for God's sakes. Don't act like a 14-year-old girl at a Jonas Brothers concert.
Quit wearing prom dresses, too, by the way. You're a 50-year-old woman.
Yeah. And now Horseface next to her has got the fever, too. She's, like, swinging her arms. Like, you two look like two old soccer moms going to, like, the Journey show without Steve Perry up at the Canyon Club after you've had too many sangrias, you old whores. Sit down.
And almost all the contestants are guys at this point, so they just look like desperate cougars. Like they're just trying to figure out a way to nail one of these contestants.
It's tragic.
Desperate cougars.
Desperate cougars.
I think there are a lot of girls out there going, yeah.
Oh, see what I mean? Just creepy.
That her. Her nose keeps getting bigger, by the way. I don't know how it happens, but it is ever expanding, much like our universe.
It's like Pinocchio.
And I'm waiting for it to collapse in on itself and create a black hole in the center of her face.
Very well job done, baby.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Patricia Arquette is 41 years old today. Robin Wright Penn turns 43. Biz Markie.
Come on.
That's what I'm talking about. One of the American Idols performed this.
Couldn't do it worse.
Awesome. Timing.
Very well job done, baby.
Well job done. 45.
That is solid.
Izzy Stradlin from Guns N' Roses is 47. And John Schneider, the Duke. One of the Dukes. He was Luke Duke. Bo Duke. He was Bo Duke. Luke Duke.
Don't know.
He was the handyman, and he rolled up his sleeve with the
cigarette. No, that's Schneider from One Day at a Time. This is John Schneider. Wow, that's the Duke right there. Also from Smallville. 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Gary Hart going for the backflip. Gary Hart just free fell from 40 feet in the sky.
I remember those days when the backflip was considered undoable.
Yeah, right.
Not possible. Don't even attempt it. That would be stupid.
Yeah, a lot's changed in the last few years.
Yes, it has.
It is unbelievable in motocross sports how quickly the new bar is set of what needs to be done to impress.
Oh, I mean, the progression rate's so amazing. I mean, but it's great.
It's scary, though. At the same time, I mean,
yeah,
you were the first one to try the backflip on the 250, right?
Yeah.
The first person to try it in competition.
Yeah. Well, it was the first and second person to try it.
First and second.
Yeah.
Was it...
And the first person to regret it, too.
Yeah, pretty much. Both times.
Did everybody at the time say, oh, man, I don't know, you shouldn't... I don't know. But, I mean, I know the community isn't skittish like that, but it does seem like there are certain things you don't want to see people do because you're afraid they'll get hurt.
Yeah, I mean, people are definitely doubting me out the gate. And then, you know, once it was seen that it could be done, it, you know, definitely opened up curiosity for people. And then, you know, once it got to a formula where it was comfortable and doable, then that's when the floodgates opened up.
And what's funny about that, then, immediately it was no longer enough to do a backflip. Now you have to do a backflip with a trick involved in it. Then Pastrana went out and did the double.
I couldn't imagine being a 19-year-old, 20-year-old kid right now trying to get into freestyle motocross.
Like, right, trying to say, oh.
I got to learn all these flip variations, right. Flat 360s. It's like, wow.
Because for you guys, it was new each time you did it. It was the big wow factor. But for them, they already have to grow up with the double and all these other tricks that have already been
done.
Right. It's much
heavy,
harder,
man. I was in a good time.
Yeah. You were. It is weird that you're a young person, yet in some respects you just have to feel like the oldest man in the world when you see these kids coming up and they're looking back. I mean, you know, they're looking back at stuff that you did when they were in diapers. You know, it's weird for you.
It is. Like, it makes me feel older than I am. You know what I mean? Like, I'm only 33.
Exactly. It's not all the breakings that you've had, all the bones.
That adds to it, too. Yeah. I mean, that's why I stay in warm places. I mean, like, this outside damp, cold air in the morning does not do
you have bad dreams? And the reason I ask is because I got in a car accident. I had bad dreams for a year, and I can imagine that you would, you know, I don't know, go back and relive some of the
worst stuff.
You don't. It doesn't
The only dreams I have around riding are usually anxiety dreams, and it's like I'm late to an event, I can't find my gear bag, my bike won't start, like
really?
The anxiety stuff. Uh-huh. But I've never had like bad dreams about a crash or something.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that is good.
It's good because I've had a lot of crashes.
Yeah. you'd never wake up. You'd have so many dreams to go through. I read that you're into something new, hard to believe, because you're still an adrenaline junkie, let's face it, and now you're into the beautiful world of off-road racing.
Yeah, I'm doing the Lucas Short Course Series, which is, if no one's ever seen it before, it's like Supercross, but in 900 horsepower trucks with roll cages and 5-point harnesses. It's amazing.
That looks awesome.
I just had my first race this past weekend. I had so much fun.
How did you do? What's the field like? What's the competition like? How does it...
I mean, the competition's pretty heavy. I mean, like the front five, you know, the front four to five guys are just so unbelievably fast. I have a lot to catch up with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my first day racing was Saturday. It was only my third day in the truck. And I rolled it in my main,
Excellent.
It four times, which is cool. Get out of the way.
Excellent. All right. Get that over with right away.
You know, get out of the way. make the highlight reel. And then, but then Sunday I got sixth place in my main. So
okay, but did you say you just got in the truck 3 days before the race?
I'd only had three like individual seat days before, so I'm definitely new.
Maybe
to
that's
it.
Not a good idea.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Maybe you should crank up the practice a little ahead of time.
I mean, you know, it's one of those sports you just kind of get thrown into.
But you got sixth. So
that's exactly. So I mean, I think my motocross background helps me out a bit.
Sure.
So that was the first of eight of the other races. So I'm going to spend the summer racing trucks.
Very cool.
Fun. Now, tell me about the role in the truck. Had you ever been involved in something like that before? Had you ever been in a vehicle like that had flipped over and over again?
No, that was my first time rolling a vehicle. And but the thing is, like, with these trucks are so comparable to motocross. Like, when I'm in that truck, like, I feel like I'm on my motorcycle. I mean, because, like, the way you know, load the chassis and hit jumps and, like, the throttle control and, like, sliding the truck through the turns. It's so comparable to motocross.
Oh, really?
So you kind of get in that mindset. And then when it goes, it's just like, you know, I mean, I definitely tensed up.
Yeah, what does it feel like when you're jumping, when you're flying? Does it feel
it's like jumping a couch? It's so soft and plush. You know, I mean, it is a blast.
Yeah,
and if you've never been to one of the races, like, they're amazing to watch.
When you're I want to find out where people go to see this. But when you're upside down, when you're in that few seconds where you don't exactly know how the truck's going to come down, are you able to be relatively calm and kind of take in what's going on around you, or are you just flipping out, or what's going on inside?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you know, you have to kind of brace yourself because your body, you know, obviously your body's all strapped in. You have a 5-point harness and a Hans device to stabilize your neck.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to kind of, you know, stabilize your limbs. And so you're really just kind of focusing on that, like just locking in your arms and legs because they get beat up really bad.
Right.
I actually kind of bruise my hands and legs up a little bit.
Sounds like there's no room for screaming or vomiting, which are the two things that I'd be doing.
Yeah, it's over before you think about it. Like the next thing you know, the truck's rolling over and you're reaching for the start button.
I was going to ask if you were able to, you know, flip it back over.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
You were. Take off
its wheels. I mean, it took about 2 minutes to refire, but I got it fired up. But I ripped the whole back of the truck apart. So
nice.
Yeah, my crew was up welding on until 2 o'clock in the morning.
You got to feel like you're a transformer when you're getting out one of those big trucks like that.
Oh, definitely. There's nothing like putting the driving suit on, the helmet, and, like, you know, climbing into the truck and, you know, coming back after the race all covered in mud, you know, and just getting back out of it.
Where do you go? Where was this race that you were in this weekend?
This one was in Las Vegas at State Line. This was the first round. As like I said, it's a 9-round series. And then we actually have a race back here in Lake Elsinore. I should know this. I want to say it's sometime in June. Might just have to. I'm sure LucasOils.com has the website, but yeah, we actually have a race in Elsinore at Lake Elsinore by the motocross track, and it's going to be amazing. It's going to be insane.
And you said it's a short course. How long do you go?
Well, I mean, it's imagine Supercross basically. I mean, the track's probably about a mile long, and it's all kind of condensed, surrounded by bleachers. So all the racing's going on right in front of you. It's
oh,
not
that's
like,
cool.
It's not like you see a trail of dust head off out in the distance, and you wait 2 hours to see a truck again. I mean, it's basically Supercross and trucks, and it's just all going down right in front.
How many
of you.
Guys start out?
20 on the track.
And is it the exact same thing as it is with the Supercross and motocross where that first turn, everybody's crammed in
chaos.
And everybody's just knocking everyone over?
It's actually worse than Supercross because it's almost impossible for everyone to make it through the first turn. I mean, and typically the track, I mean, there's like a 100-foot tabletop on it, rhythm sections. I mean, like we're getting like 15 feet in the air and these trucks going 100 feet.
Wow.
Yeah, it's intense.
Wow. That's awesome.
Now, is this something you are just dipping your toe into because it sounded like fun, or is this something you feel like you're committed to and it's kind of a new career for you, Kerry?
I'm definitely committed to it. Lucas really put a lot of money behind the series, and like they have every intention of turning this into on some level kind of how NASCAR is. And and I've teamed up with the guy who owns my team, Ryan, and so we have actually our Hart and Huntington Rockstar, you know, General Tires team, and I want to do this for the next 10 years because I can. You know,
right. That sounds great.
It's not
yeah.
one of those things that I get forced out because I'm getting too beat up or I can't handle it anymore. I mean, I can literally do this until I'm 50.
Wow, that's got to be a whole different mindset to think I can wipe out pretty badly and be okay.
It is. It's such a huge confidence builder. Like, it makes the day fun because, like, there's always that element. I mean, I've always loved riding motocross and it's always been, like, the best experience of my life. But there are the days, like, when I'm in a contest, like, okay, am I going to win a medal or am I going to go to the hospital?
Right.
And it was like, that was kind of like my dynamic. Like, there really wasn't much in the middle.
You're going to be at Lake Elsinore at the end of June and the end of July. You're
going
to be there June 27th awesome. And 28th and July 25th and 26th.
Yeah, definitely. It's
that sounds fun.
I'm pretty jaded when it comes to racing and events, and the first time I went to one of these events, I was hooked.
Let me ask you one more question on this, and then we got to take a break and come back with our guest, Kerry Hart, and talk about all the new stuff that's going on with him in Las Vegas because he's building an empire out there. my only fear with this sort of racing is I always envision that a truck could blow up or something like that. Is there any danger? I mean, what kind of precautions do they take against a big accident causing a fire?
Well, actually, I haven't had to use it yet, but when you're inside the cab of the truck, if there's any kind of fire that kicks up whatsoever, there's actually a fire extinguisher button, and it's like a self-contained fire extinguisher.
Really?
And it blows over the motor in the driver's seat and like sheds this layer, so it distinguishes
the
fire.
You should try it once, just see how it feels.
You know, it's funny. It's like when my crew chief put me in my truck, he's like, "Do not touch that button. It's like $3,000 to reprogram it."
Oh man,
like, don't touch it.
Yeah, so. That seems bad.
So, in the event of an actual crash and a fire, if you still have the use of either of your arms or your nose, you can press that button.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I like it. Kerry Hart is here. We'll come back and talk about all things Kerry Hart, and HuntingtonTattoo.com is the website, and that gives you a clue of what we're going to talk about when we return right after this on the World Famous. Our friend Kerry Hart is in studio with us right now. We're catching up. Seems like there's always so much going on with you, Kerry, even though it's only a couple of months between when we talked to you. There's something new. In fact, you moved the tattoo place in Vegas, huh?
Yeah, we're opening the 17th in the Hard Rock Hotel. Really, really excited about
it. So you took it out of the Palms and then you're going to the Hard Rock?
Yes.
Is that because you have the wasted space there too and you're just kind of...
You know, I just think all arrows were pointing to Hard Rock, you know, just because I just did open my nightclub there last August. And, you know, it's just... It's kind of time for a facelift. It's, you know, it's a cooler, hipper venue. I mean, we won't be such the dark horse, you know. It's,
right.
I think it more encompasses, like, our crowd. So, yeah. You know, everything just kind of pointed that direction.
Are they going to change the name to the Kerry Hart Rock?
Yeah.
Just put your name on it?
I would like that. The more real estate I can get locked down in that place, the better.
Yeah, no kidding.
Is most of your business people who happen upon you, or is most of your business people who go out of their way to come in because they know it's your place and they want to get it done there?
Yeah, it's definitely a tourist destination spot, you know. I mean, I would say it's probably like 70-30, but it's definitely people who kind of seek us out and come over. So, which is great.
Where is it in the Hard Rock? Because I have trouble picturing there being any space in that place for anything.
Well, they're doing a huge expansion there. They built a new 4,000-seat, person-seat joint. So they have like a whole new retail corridor, and it's us and John Varvatos and a couple other spots. So, yeah, it's really cool. I'm excited.
we had a trip to Las Vegas planned. I mean, to the point where I was booking a flight. It was about 3 weeks ago, and then the man pulled the plug, and we weren't able to go. But we were desperate to get back there and broadcast live again.
Well, let me know what I can do on my side. I will totally rally for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, if we have to come to Vegas, you know.
Yeah, got to twist your arm and get John up there.
We'll figure it out.
what kind of music you've been having in the Wasted Space lately? Anyone you've really dug?
Yeah, we've had some really good shows. I mean, we've had some big acts. We had Pink there for New Year's. We had Katy Perry.
How'd you get her?
Yeah, you know, management to management type deal.
Your people called her people?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we just had the Addicts. We've had Fear. We've had we actually have Avenged Sevenfold coming through this weekend. Awesome. It's been really, really fun because I'm just such a big fan of rock and roll music, and it's cool to have like my own place where my friends can come and rage. Actually, we had one night. I mean, everyone has a Fletcher story, but
yeah, oh, sure.
Did he vomit on you?
No, actually, I wasn't there. I was on the road, but him and the Vandals. Well, basically, Pennywise and the Vandals jumped up on stage and jammed out for like an hour and a half, and
that's pretty cool.
By the end of it, he was so annihilated. He took the guitar and smashed our drum kit.
Well. Let me tell you about Fletcher. If you've never had the opportunity to see him in person, find K-Rock listeners. He's the biggest human in the world.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can avoid it. If he starts acting up, you're going to know about it.
Yeah.
If he falls, it's like an earthquake.
Did you get like several calls that night? Okay. They're on stage.
Yeah. Everyone's freaking out. I'm like, relax. It's a rock and roll bar. If something hasn't broken yet, then there's something wrong.
That's the way it should go.
Yeah.
You've learned that you can't have nice stuff in a place like that. Believe me. You don't want anything that you can't easily replace.
Exactly.
Well, it looks cool. So Wasted Space is open. You're going to open the Heart in Huntington on the 17th, did you say?
On the 17th, yeah. It's the same weekend as the Killers is opening the Joint and Avenged Sevenfold.
Very cool.
So, yeah, it's going to be a big weekend, man. I'm excited.
And it sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun doing the off-road racing for Lucas Oil this summer, too. I mean, things are going great for you, dude.
Yeah, thanks. It's good. I'm trying to avoid hospitals and avoid getting hurt and just kind of focus on the business side, you know? So we'll have to get you guys out to that Elsinore race. We'll do a ride along with you guys.
You insist. Right along, nothing. I want to race in it.
All right.
I mean, I don't know how, but I would like to.
All right. We'll either see you out there or see you in Las Vegas, or you come back next time you're in town. All right, dude?
Right on. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Gary.
Very well done. Seriously, that one actually worked.
Can
that
I stop trying now? Do you think really that kind of okay? Good.
Yeah. Let's retire that.
Excellent.
Let's say success and let's move on.
Okay.
It's 8:42 on the Kevin and Bean Show. All this week, hooking you up with Metallica tickets for their show at the Honda Center, plus Xbox 360 and a copy of Metallica Guitar Hero. How about Adam Marquez from Sylmar? He just won his. You can win yours coming up after 9 with Kat.
Guys, there's a new reality TV show that involves David Hasselhoff.
Yes,
and his two daughters, Taylor Ann, who's 18, and Haley Amber, who's 16.
Tell me more.
He is apparently starting a musical group. I guess just the daughters he's kind of managing at the beginning. And they're going to start a music group, and they're going to be in it, and he's going to be the showbiz dad.
Well, he's terrible, but he sold millions of records, David Hasselhoff has, so maybe he knows something that we don't. But let's find out, because we've got the Hoff on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Hasselhoff.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
You know, I can get tickets for the Coachella Festival. How do I get his tickets for that?
You can just Ticketmaster. Just go to Ticketmaster.
Can I come by the station there and get some tickets from you guys?
Just go right to Ticketmaster.
You know, the Hoff loves to rock.
We hear that that's true. Yeah, I hear that.
Because I like to bring out, you know, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
They're not playing, though.
How far is it from the Marriott, where the show's going to be there? How far away from the show is the Marriott?
It's like a minute and a half walk.
That's great.
Yeah,
okay,
go ahead and just
great.
Do that. All right.
Okay. Can we move on to what we asked?
How you doing today?
Very well. Thank
you.
We're doing
fantastico.
Fine.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You have two daughters who I guess have kind of grown up, but I didn't realize it. One is 18. One is 16, and they also have show business aspirations. It sounds like
absolutely. Each of them is a Chip Hoff the old block.
Oh wow. You know, don't
Coach
feel like
fantastico.
Don't feel like you need to make those Hoff jokes where every word turns into a Hoff word.
That one was not half bad.
Wow. All right.
Fantastico.
So they've got the talent. What is it they can do? Are they singers like you, David, or actors, or what?
They have a lot of talent, the girls. They can sing. They can act. I mean, I think they'd be great on the stage. I think they could perform Hoff Broadway.
Wow. There's no end to this, is there?
Man, how do I get those tickets for that festival
just,
down there?
Just Ticketmaster.
Really, all right.
That's the way to do it. You can do that right online.
I don't mean to be a show-off, guys, but I'm telling you, these girls really have talent.
Is it true, David, that you named them the Hoff Drops?
Yeah, they're the Hoff Drops.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. Coach J. Fantastico.
See, because you worked your last name into that as well.
Yeah, I just hope you guys will give them Hoff a chance.
Oh, come on.
Come on, don't blow me Hoff, fellas.
David, it's impossible to take you seriously if all you're doing is spending time making jokes.
I don't know. I got Hoff of mine to go to another radio station with this interview.
Well, Seacrest would love it.
All right, right exactly. Have your daughters begun recording or touring, and they're singing places? What are they doing? Where are they in the band
system? They're starting to record.
Okay,
they haven't toured yet, but we're working on that. You know, you got to stay optimistic in this business.
Okay,
because sometimes the glass is half empty, sometimes it's half full.
Wow! Wow!
Come on, you're laughing your ass off right now, aren't you?
not really. No.
Coach A, fantastico.
Right.
All right, Hoff. Well, good luck with the Hoff Drops, and I guess we'll see you at Coachella then.
Do you want to hear a little music the girls have been working on?
Yes.
You have it?
Yeah, we got it. We got some of the tracks right here if you want to hear it.
Only yes, please.
This is the first single I think it's going to be. I think the career will really take Hoff after this hits the
airwaves. Oh, dear God.
All right, here's a little track from my two girls called the Hoff Drops, okay?
All right.
Okay.
I'm all right. Oh, this is a mess. Coach Jeff Fantastico. I'm all right. This is a mess. Yep. No. Coach Jeff Fantastico. I'm all right. This is a mess. Yeah. Coach Jeff Fantastico. I'm all right. Nope.
This is called I'm all right.
I'm all right. Nope. Coach Jeff Fantastico.
They're definitely your girls. They're definitely your girls, man. That's for sure.
They were great, huh?
Yeah, that was good. You have more songs?
Seriously, how do I get those tickets?
You have more songs? Just Ticketmaster. You just get them from Ticketmaster.
I come down and get them from you guys?
Nope. Just go to Ticketmaster.
Coach Dave Fantastico.
Right.
I'll come on down.
All right. We'll see you in a minute.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
That was wow. A Moment with Kevin.
That's something else.
That is something.
Very well job done, baby.
Thank you.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, by the way, our friend Joe Rogan, fresh off his unbelievably funny performance at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness Friday night, is going to be in studio. Also, we'll talk to people who think they can predict earthquakes on the show tomorrow. And Ralph, your new personal hero, Beaver Phillips, is going to
Beaver!
Be here.
Finally, the beef!
Beaver has written a book that we're going to talk about, so very excited about the beef.
Yeah. Copy, paste, and bang
Copy,
is the name of the book.
Copy, paste, and bang. How to meet girls on the internet and have sex with them.
Okay. Sounds like useful information for our listeners.
Love it.
Time for the Ralph Show Business.
Loving it. Love it.
You love it?
Love it.
All right.
We got to get tickets through Hasselhoff. We got to get him some tickets. At least we
can. To Coachella? He sounds like he wants to go.
He really wants to go.
Seems like he could just go to Ticketmaster.
Here's the perfect show for Kevin. It is the new dating reality competition show going to be on Fox Television called More to Love.
Oh, yes. Fat?
This is going to show you, Kevin, that love comes in all shapes and sizes. The bigger the waist, the bigger the heart, Kevin.
Is that right?
Yes. In this series, an average guy will romance several confident and secure plus-sized women.
You're fat.
Oh, come on!
Come on, fatty, keep up!
It's like The Bachelor, but for big girls.
Fatty, 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 fatty.
Why do you gotta be like that, man?
Can you read my mind? Can you tell what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking, shut up and get a salad.
Now, if you're
here's some chocolate, Fatso.
If you're a larger size lady,
it sounds like they're making a distinction between plus size and fat, though, right?
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about an extra 150 pounds. plus
which
size.
Which is which? Plus size is...
Seems like it's big but healthy and fine.
Really?
Fat seems like it's bigger than and not as healthy as plus size.
They're using the phrases in the description, full-figured, plus-sized...
How heavy
husky.
Are they?
Husky.
Oh, no, they didn't use husky.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
They're having the casting at Lane Bryant stores across
fat.
These great states of ours.
Fat.
Familiar with the Lane Bryant clothing
sure.
line?
It's for...
larger women.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was a fat sentence.
If you would like to be on the show, you can apply online at moretolovecasting.com, or you can go to the open casting call here in Southern California at the Lane Bryant store at the Tampa Plaza Northridge Fashion Center.
When can Mike be there?
Saturday, April the 18th, which is a week from this coming Saturday, from noon to 6 p.m.
Oh, what's the word? Fat.
So if you are a plus-size woman who would like to compete for the heart of a single average fellow, then please stop by the Lane Bryant store in Northridge from noon to 6 p.m. on Saturday, April the 18th.
Mike, you're going to have to miss Coachella for that, but it's worth it for us if you miss Coachella.
No problemo. All
right. Okay, that wins.
And then we can give his tickets to Hasselhoff.
Right.
Is there a, are they providing a buffet for the audition process?
See, now this is why I didn't even want to bring this up. Because
fat chicks need love too, but they got to pay.
Because you guys are just, you're just heartless.
That's true, because you love fat women, that's true.
I'm just trying to provide some casting information to our listening audience.
Fat club members.
That's all I'm trying to do.
Let's do it.
And I'll tell you, the first way of dealing with your fat is admitting it.
Is there a never-ending...
Oh, we could go on for it. You want us to?
No, I'd rather
fat asses.
You're fat. Also, you're getting fatter. It's amazing.
Also, L.A. Inc. is having their casting as well. Kat Von D show.
Yes.
You're looking for people
who want
interesting tattoos. It's back for a fourth season. If you're fun and you're hip and you want an interesting tattoo, please contact L.A. Inc. at LAinkCasting.com. It's so easy to apply, and they're looking for new people for the fourth season. So you can be on television if you want a tattoo or if you're fat and looking for love.
Now, the next question you have to ask yourself is, how does being fat work for me?
Looks like, speaking of reality television, Octomom is getting her reality show.
Please, no.
How do you like that?
Nope.
Remember all the times she denied? Oh, no, I don't want a reality show. Oh, that hasn't even crossed my mind. I couldn't be more or less interested in that.
Yeah.
In Touch Weekly Magazine is reporting that Nadia Suleiman will be getting the reality show once her eighth child comes home from the hospital.
This kind of multiple birth is more suited to, say, a possum than a human being.
The show's concept will follow her around as she copes with her 14 children. And, I'm not kidding you, attempts to find a person to have a relationship
with in
the show.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, the deck is kind of stacked against her.
I mean,
14
maybe,
kids at home.
Maybe she can go on
crazy.
More to love. Maybe she can go on More to Love.
That could be.
Apparently, the only condition Suleiman had when she signed the contracts for the show was that they could not use the word Octomom. She doesn't care
because she
that.
Doesn't just have eight. She has
14. So she'd be, a dodecahedron mom or whatever it is.
What channel?
It does not say here. No.
They should do like on Maury and have like a bunch of guys who could possibly be the dad and then do paternity tests.
Each week.
Week by
that'd
week.
Be awesome.
Vote
right?
one guy
oh,
off
cool.
via paternity test. Yeah, so no Octomom in the title, but we will get to see her in a reality show. Excited?
I'm a little bit surprised by that because I sense that there's so much dislike for her. It's not like people are excited about it or rooting for her to do well, I don't think.
That's just not good.
Hugh Jackman's happy that Wolverine is over. He was talking about the new movie that comes out in a couple weeks. And he said to do the film, he had to get in peak physical condition for the role. Have you seen him at all in the trailer? The guy's just shredded up.
He
looks fantastic. He's like his early 40s, too, by the way, Hugh Jackman. He said in order to attain that shape, he had to down lots and lots of protein.
Yeah.
He even had to wake up in the middle of the night to drink raw egg whites. That's how much protein he was taking in.
Oh.
Those aren't egg whites. But now that he is done filming, he's let himself go a little bit.
Excellent. Yeah.
Makes the rest of us feel better. Thanks, Hugh. And you know the bachelor who dumped the girl on television to go with the runner-up girl, the one he didn't pick?
The girl that he dumped first, he went back with, right? Not first, but between the two.
Right. The end of The Bachelor, you got to pick the girl you're going to get engaged to and live with the rest of your life. With, right. So he picks between the two girls. It publicly embarrasses the one by saying, no, I'm not choosing you, I'm choosing the other girl. He goes off with that girl, but then he decides when he's off with that girl, he doesn't like that girl, really. He liked the other one he didn't pick. So he went back and, on another TV show, dumped the one he did pick and asked the one he didn't pick if she would give him another chance.
What could go wrong with that?
Well, Star Magazine says, apparently he has lost interest in Molly, the girl he did pick the second time, and is once again calling Melissa, the first one he dumped, who is now on Dancing with the Stars, to talk about getting back with her again.
Screw him.
Wow.
This guy's
she
got some issues.
She wouldn't take him back, though, at this point, would she?
What are you offering?
Yeah, well, I would think she would.
Do we get our own show? That's what she's got to be asking herself right now.
The Octomom has a show, you're saying?
She's gonna.
Huh.
But she's not the Octomom, man. Mm. Don't call her that.
That. That's what I got to say.
That's a good point.
Let's talk about today's celebrity birthday, shall we? You know, every day in this great nation of ours, a celebrity is born.
Yes.
And that celebrity has their name and their age put on a list.
Right. And where is that list, would you
And
guess?
Then that list gets printed out.
Right.
And it gets added to a pile of papers.
You bring them in every day. And then you read from
that
list.
And here's that list now.
Okay. All right.
John Schneider's 49 years old today.
Screw him.
He was one of the original Dukes, of course, on Dukes of Hazzard. Later became Clark Kent's dad on Smallville. He was a good dad on that show.
F*** that guy.
Oh,
what do you need him for?
My wife still has the biggest crush on John Schneider.
Really?
That's like her dream. That's like, you know, you get a freebie with a celebrity. That's like top of her list.
John Schneider?
John Schneider.
That's a hell of a list.
Loves her some John Schneider.
Okay. He seems like a good dude. I mean, everybody likes him.
Sure.
Good looking fella.
Sure. Yeah.
49 years old. Looks good.
Your wife could do a lot better than that.
Much better than
that's
I
what I'm
do.
Saying.
Izzy Stradlin from Guns N' Roses is 47. Oddly enough, top of my list.
Izzy Stradlin?
Yeah. I get a freebie with Izzy. Let's see. Biz Markie from Biz Markie and the Markies. He is 45 years old today. Robin Wright Penn turns 43. Patricia Arquette celebrates her 41st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So this deal in Italy, this earthquake in Italy, I guess the death toll now is over 250. Very, very serious. Obviously, we're very sensitive to earthquake deaths here in Southern California because we have our share. But what's really different about this one is there apparently was a guy, Kevin, who had been doing everything he could to get the word out that he predicted this earthquake would happen.
Yeah, here's the problem, though. There's so many people out there that say they know what's coming, that you kind of have to just write them off as quacks. But
right.
This guy apparently was a physicist and was driving in his van with a loudspeaker going, get out of your homes, you're going to die. And he put warnings up on the internet, and the government made him take it all down and stop doing it.
Because they didn't want to cause a panic.
Right.
So they said, no, you can't warn people. Then, boom, next thing you know, a 6.3 magnitude killer earthquake in Italy. It's the worst earthquake they've had in many, many years. So we thought, what's this guy know that the rest of us don't know? Is there useful information to be gleaned here? There's no way that I'm going to say this name correctly, but I'll try. Gioacchino Giuliani is joining us on the phone from his home in Italy right now. Do I have that right, sir?
What the hell is that? What kind of a pronunciation is that?
That's your name.
Gioacchino Giuliani?
Giacchino.
No.
Giacchino.
Giacchino, I apologize.
Giacchino Giuliani.
Okay, I'm sorry.
What?
I apologize.
I just cursed your mother's sphincter.
Okay, that's what I was afraid of. All right, so you are the scientist who predicted the 6.3 earthquake, and the government not only wouldn't listen to you, but they made you not even tell anyone else because they were afraid of panic.
Yeah, how do you like me now, eh? I'm a pretty smart guy now, aren't I?
Well, it seems like it. How did you predict this?
I have a laboratory here. In central Italy, Gran Sasso is the institute I work at. And we're near L'Aquila, the city where I was hit by the earthquake.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And what I did is I measured the radon gas being released from the ground. The fault lines.
Yes.
Where the plates of the earth shift.
Okay.
And make the earthquake. And so I measured the gas there, and that's how I know when the earthquake is going to come.
Now, is
so
this
I tell
something?
Everybody, get the f*** out of there!
Whoa. Well, your English suddenly got very good there, sir.
And listen to me. Everyone stay in what is the kind of a house, how do you say in America? And then the house collapsed on them.
Right.
And the next thing you know, they're not allowed more laugh at Jack, you know.
Yeah,
right.
Because
they all died. Right, exactly.
Yes.
Now, is this radon gas thing, is this something that you invented, or is this something others have used to predict earthquakes in the past?
I am the father of monitoring radon gas concentration from seismically questionable areas.
Okay.
And so what I do is I measure the gas, and then I know when the earthquake will come.
Okay. I hate to ask this, sir, but are you in a hot tub? What's all the bubbles I hear behind you?
This is my laboratory, smartass.
Oh.
Where I have many experiments going because I am working on many things at once.
Oh, so not just predicting earthquakes. What else?
No, I can predict many things.
What else are you predicting?
I predict one of you's wife will take a big black...
Oh, come on.
Sometime in the next week or so.
What do you measure for that?
I measure...
Yes.
You measure what?
I'm sorry, we did not catch that. What?
I cannot say what I measure to make that the prediction.
Okay, all right.
Because then we all have no job.
Just trust you. Okay.
Trust me, one of your wives will take a huge black cock.
Okay.
Is it possible that it's both?
Say that,
I can narrow it down. I cannot narrow it down either way.
All right.
It's too hard for me to tell.
All right.
I just get a sense it's one or the other.
Wow.
Sorry to one. Congratulations to other guy.
I wasn't even aware that that was something that science could predict. That's actually
very
impressive.
Right now we're working on many science things in the laboratory.
All right, what else?
We have a year-long study now. We're trying to determine whether Lady Gaga is hot or not. I just can't tell. I've been looking at these pictures and I can't figure it out yet.
It depends on what video you see her in or what photo she
sometimes
takes.
Sometimes, yes, and sometimes she has a big zipper on her eye.
Right.
And that's not sexy.
Right,
and
right.
The body, I cannot tell. Sometimes it looks good, sometimes it's not. And sometimes the face is like a puma. And sometimes it's like a pretty girl. I cannot decide.
But I don't think that can be determined by science. I think that's just subjective.
If not science, then what? Well, who do we turn to?
Well, it's just subjective. It's your own opinion. That's
I'm going to have to measure the radon gas that come out of her, how do you say, an American...
Oh, gosh. Really?
That's, I think, what it's called, yes.
That is what it's called.
Unless it's what? I don't know. No. What do you call it?
Wow.
You know, the pasta maker.
Right. We got it.
Right.
You know.
We understand. Okay. All right. We've learned more about your kind of science than we ever hoped to learn this afternoon. Thank you very much for talking to us.
Hey, what's the matter, you?
Tomorrow morning, by the way, on the morning show, our friend Joe Rogan is going to be joining us, fresh off his appearance at Kevin Bean's first annual April Foolishness past Friday night. He was fantastic. And Ralph, you'll be happy to know, it is Book Day Thursday on the Kevin Bean Show. Beaver Phillips is going to be on talking about Copy, Paste, and Bang.
His new book. Tell me, I've been the one pushing Beaver for some time now.
You have been pushing Beaver. Yeah. That's true.
I'm saying, guys, what about the Beaver?
You've been saying that a lot.
We got to get Beaver.
Yep.
So all of that tomorrow morning right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, we're not done for this afternoon yet. Ralph's got the show biz beat for a Wednesday. What's going on?
Give you a programming note tonight on CSI New York.
Uh-huh.
You should watch.
Because
very special guest star tonight on CSI New York
is
Catherine McPhee.
Yeah,
I don't know what she plays on it, but I'm buying it.
You don't care, right? Just whatever.
If she's a serial killer, then hand me the chainsaw, I say.
All right.
If she's a cop, then just pin on a badge. She's a victim, then necrophilia is the way to go.
Oh,
right. Whatever it takes.
That just went south.
Well, maybe we can talk about dead babies some more, Kevin. Maybe we can do that break again. We did this morning.
My Fake Baby is the name of it.
Kevin entertains us with dead baby stories.
I got this one coming up, if you want.
There are now 3,000 real dolls across the world, providing some owners with the love and companionship that real women cannot.
Yes.
That's right.
Real dolls.
They help me read the news.
By the way, anyone catch Wheel of Fortune Monday night?
No.
Not likely.
That's not likely.
Why? You don't like the Wheel of Fortune?
Well, I mean, it's just... It's
Wheel of Fortune.
But it's been on 7 billion years in a row.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll be sorry when you didn't watch Monday.
All right.
When some people are complaining.
About?
Because the midget contestant that was on... had a designated spinner.
Couldn't reach the wheel.
And some people think that's not right for someone else to spin for him.
Are you kidding me?
Designated spinner.
Really?
Right or wrong? Debate. We're open the phone lines right now.
We'll take calls
really,
on the designated
no
spinner rule.
In spinning, though, it's not a. I mean, it's a game of chance.
Yeah, but that's
right?
not your spin, is it? If someone else is spinning the wheel, that's not your spin, is it, Bean?
But it certainly could. It could be.
But, I mean, how could it be if you're not spinning it?
If you walked out and spun it for Bean, it wouldn't give him an advantage.
But it's not his spin.
But he would
have. It's not his spin.
But he would have.
It's my spin then.
Right.
Has nothing to do with him.
Why? Why couldn't they give him or her a big hook or something? You know, like
this? Yes. Yes, that's what he needed.
I'm serious.
Why didn't he just jump on the wheel himself and just pull it around?
Just run in place?
Like a gerbil.
Like a gerbil spinning it around?
No, but seriously, why not a long stick or a pool bridge?
Stop it.
I'm saying.
I don't like the designated spinner rule. I don't like it.
You don't like it?
It's not wholesome Wheel of Fortune the way it was meant to be played.
You're a purist when it comes to Wheel of Fortune.
Don't mess
with it.
I don't like the designated spinner rule.
Beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
Ain't that the truth? Designated spinner rule. I don't care for it. Not a bit. People very upset, not only about the designated spinner, but about last night's American Idol.
Why are they upset?
Because here's the thing.
Because
Ryan Seacrest doesn't know how to run a show. The good news is it was only an hour long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Ryan Seacrest can't keep it running on time.
Yeah.
So it ran over 8 minutes. So everyone who T-voted it or DVR'd the episode missed the final performance of the evening.
Missed That's the last
me.
Song.
That's me.
Yes.
Was
that an important one?
Well, they call that the pimp slot.
What does that mean?
It means whoever they think is good enough to close the show, that's the last performance that the viewers see. So it's the one that's freshest in their minds when they go to vote.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So usually they reserve the best performance of the night for that slot. And last night was Adam Lambert, who everyone now is predicting will walk away, will win the show hands down.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people missed out on the performance, like Bean. Didn't get to see him do Mad World by Tears for Fears last night.
Yeah, sounds good. I was watching the Mariners game. I thought, no problem, I'll check out AI afterwards. And then, boom, right as they got ready to introduce him, tape ran out. That was it.
Simon Cowell said, words unnecessary, stood up, gave him a standing ovation.
Really?
You might as well call it right now. Wow. Just call it. Mercy rule.
That's impressive.
Now, we have 2 months left to go, by the way.
Two months in American Idol.
What the hell? Yeah. Just a hair under 2 months.
How is that possible?
Because that's the way it works.
How many people are left?
8.
Yeah. That's your balloons.
Just saying. We've already decided who's going to win. There's still 2 months left.
All right.
It's not good.
Let's call it. Let's just call it.
Can't. No. And Britney Spears has a new boyfriend. If you believe Star Magazine, she has fallen for, wait for it, one of her backup dancers.
Yes. What could go wrong with
that? Sound familiar?
Yep.
His name is Chase Benz.
Come on.
Chase Benz.
Yeah.
B-E-N-Z.
Come on.
It's all about the Benz. You know that.
Wow.
Her father's apparently trying to stop the relationship. He's not happy with this dude. Can you imagine being her father trying to keep all those plates in the air?
No.
With her on tour and her banging backup dancers.
No.
Trying to keep blow out of her nose and booze out of her hand.
Oh, hit me, baby, one more time.
And apparently, ex-husband Kevin Federline isn't pleased with the arrangement either.
Well, what does he care?
Because he's still the dad of the kids, and
he thinks
it's a bad influence. This guy's a bad influence.
Yeah, all right.
He doesn't want her hanging out with a backup dancer.
Yeah, because those
look
guys
what happened
are shaky.
Last time. Exactly. You should know better.
That's what I got to say.
All right.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Patricia Arquette. What size do you guess she is?
What size?
About a medium.
Thank you very much.
I was there for you, Ralph.
Medium!
Oh, my God.
She stars on a television show that's called
Medium. He handed that to us, Kevin.
Ow!
Come on.
I just got pelted with a mechanical pencil. Robin Wright Penn is 43 years old today. Don't you shake your head at me, Psycho Mike, with your Schneider from One Day at a Time comedy this morning.
Yeah, he has no room to speak either.
Biz Markie is 45 years old today. Izzy Stradlin from Guns N' Roses turns 47. And John Schneider. Them Dukes. He is 49 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.